Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says that he's going to start going after parents who are harassing, intimidating, threatening, and attacking school board members in what may be one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. The federal government getting involved in local harassment cases? Wow. Somebody must have struck a nerve. Perhaps the critical race theory agenda is particularly important to these crackpots in the federal government, and so they're reacting rather to an extreme degree. So let me just say a shout-out to Timcast IRL's good friend Steve Bannon for being right. And I love saying that he was, because he came on the show more than one occasion saying parents would revolt when they saw what the schools were doing to their kids. He came back and said, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be like this. This is more than I thought. And now we're seeing the DOJ threatening to send feds after parents for harassment? Now that's amazing. Antifa can go around burning down buildings, literally resulting in death. And the feds don't even wake up for that. Yet a parent harassing, and I'll use air quotes here, some school board member, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, we better intervene. Man, really does feel like, I don't know, maybe the establishment is reacting to an extreme degree because they're losing. Steve Bannon came out and mentioned shock troops taking back this country. The left, of course, revolts. They're freaking out, saying, how dare you, when he says this. But I think Steve Bannon was talking about them, too. He's talking about regular working people, not the wealthy elites and the political class. But we'll talk about this. Joe Biden came out and said anybody who opposes his Build Back Better agenda is supporting the decline of this country. And I just laugh. Man. If that's the case, Joe Biden seriously thinks half the country is not part of this country, and we're already looking at some kind of fracturing. So we'll get into all these amazing stories. Joining us today is the ever-intrepid Luke Rutkowski.
Ron DeSantis had a very interesting thing to say about what we were just talking about. But before that, Newsweek also just reported that F Joe Biden chants broke out at the New Jersey Jets football game. And with popular demand, that's why I decided to make an official Let's Go Brandon t-shirt, which is now available exclusively on thebestpoliticalshirts.com.
I like it.
With the shadows showing, you know, just a different version.
I gotta say, there are a lot of Let's Go Brandon shirts that are coming out. All right. So one of them was literally just, it says Let's Go Brandon. I saw some of them where the in Brandon, one of the vowels is Biden's head. But having it say Let's Go Brandon and the shadow says F Joe Biden, that was good. That was clever.
Yeah. So yes, I'm a humble t-shirt merchant. The one I have right now is, of course, highlighting your favorite CIA big tech companies in pill form with the caption, attention is a hell of a drug.
Why is Snapchat and Telegram on there?
You need to cover all the spectrums here, especially when it comes to all
Pinterest?
The, yeah. I mean, you want to get all of them. So thank you guys for having me on and supporting my humble t-shirt company.
We also have Chris Carr, executive editor of TimCast.com.
And local mixologist.
Yes.
And local mixologist.
On-site mixologist, of course. Yes, happy to be here.
Downstairs, we have several bottles of Sour Patch liqueur.
Yes.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. So we took some vodka and we infused them with Sour Patch Kids. And it turned out, I thought this was going to be a horrible experiment. And it turned out really well. We had some cocktails earlier. It was delicious.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. Yeah.
Right on. We have Dr. Crossland.
Well, hello, everyone. I don't have any sneaky t-shirts, but I do have
sneaky t-shirts.
Some emeralds and rubies.
Oh, check cool. These out. You can see them. Oh, snap.
That's right.
I put amazing. Two awesome. Of each in each bag, and I have a bag for each of you. Chris,
amazing.
Awesome.
Oh, my
Tim,
God.
Lydia,
wow.
Thank you so much.
Thank
so
you.
It's one for you and one for your loved one.
Are you a doctor like
thank
Joe Biden?
You. Yeah, call me Dr. Luke. Not actually a doctor.
Not actually a doctor.
And he's got opals. Ian Ooh, Ian bought so opals. He's very excited.
I'll reveal them later.
Yes.
his clever investment. He's going to be the one laughing when the economy collapses and we turn to an opal-based economy.
I know, right? Here's Tim's little baggie. little bag of gems.
Little tiny rubies.
They're so pretty.
I mean, why are these valuable? What do they do?
Can
you power a car with
them?
It's
called corundum, which is aluminum oxide. So there's aluminum in it. I think back in the day when aluminum was worth more than gold, that's part of why maybe they were so valuable. Now they make them in laboratories, so they're really easy to get a hold of. But they're amazing.
Very cool. We also have Lydia.
Yeah, I am in the corner pressing buttons. We did make Sour Patch Vodka. It's fantastic. These are beautiful, and I'm very excited to make something shiny. Did you guys know that shiny things are popular with people because that's how we found water? That's why people like shiny things.
Really?
So there you go. Mm. Yes, that's correct. You can look
water?
It up. Mm-hmm. That's why we like shiny stuff now.
We like shiny rocks.
Yep, it's true.
And colored paper.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into this news. Before we do, head over to TimCast.com, become a member, and you'll get access to exclusive members-only segments from this show. Of course, we'll have one of those episodes up around 11 or so tonight. After this show ends, we put that one up. But you will also get access to the up-and-coming members-only segments from Tales from the Inverted World. These are fully produced podcasts. We're actually working on like animations and images, graphics for the next videos that go live. We're soft launch, and a lot of people said, is this just audio? For the most part, it is, but we're going to do drawings for each of these episodes. This is Shane Cashman talking about UFOs and mysteries. I believe the next one we're working on is either like UFOs or simulism. It's really interesting. And then we're going to have the full conversation members-only show, which will be available to members coming up very, very shortly. Very soon. But don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share this show with your friends. Let's talk about some apocalyptic stuff. We do have good news, but we'll start with the bad news. We got this from Fox News. Parents respond to DOJ school board statements. I am what a domestic terrorist looks like. That's the quote. All right. DOJ issued memo after NSBA suggested school boards might be facing domestic terrorism. This is amazing. The DOJ basically came out, Merrick Garland, and said that they're going to be investigating claims of harassment, intimidation, threats, and violence. Even if one of these parents at these school board meetings, all right, hold on. Let me slow down. For those that may be missing the context, parents have been protesting school board meetings because they're demanding the schools either stop masking their kids, change up the curriculum. They're not happy with critical theory, critical race theory, and critical gender theory. So things have been getting intense. Steve Bannon. I'll always shout him out because he was the one who said this to us, and he deserves the credit that the parents would revolt when they saw what was happening to their kids, and boy, was he right. But I didn't expect the federal government to react this way. Let me ask you guys something. If, say, a fight broke out at a bar, do you think the FBI would get involved?
Negative.
No. If, like, a guy showed up to a golf game and got really angry and started yelling at some other guy and then hit him, literally hit the guy, would the feds get involved?
Wait, is there something resembling a noose involved? Because if there is, then they might show up.
A lot of
yes.
Them.
Yes.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it could swarm the place.
The pull rope for the golf cart.
A pull rope, of course. Yes,
and
yes.
Then the FBI swarms.
Then they're there.
But,
so.
For the DOJ to come out and be like, claims of local political harassment are now federal jurisdiction, man, did this strike a nerve.
Yeah, and this is extremely political. How else can you say it? I mean, there's been videos that have been going viral with people finally finding out what's really happening in the public schools, or as other people call them, indoctrination centers, and they're livid and they're angry. And I think they have a right to be angry with what's been happening, because they have been using institutions of learning to really indoctrinate people into this subculture that has been pushed as far as an agenda and a narrative. Now, the governor of Florida had a very interesting response to this. He just tweeted, quote, Attorney General Garland is weaponizing the DOJ by using the FBI to pursue concerned parents and silence them through intimidation. Florida will defend the free speech rights of its citizens and will not allow federal agents to squelch dissent. Wow. That's what Ron DeSantis just said on his public Twitter account. And I think he's definitely being the front runner and someone who is trying to set himself for the next presidential election.
I dig it. But let's provide some help to all of you who may have heard about critical race theory. I think most people who watch this show probably have a good understanding of what we mean when we talk about critical race theory or critical race applied principles, because we often get corrected by our own audience, the super chats. But there may be someone you want to share this with, and they're saying, I heard on MSNBC there's no critical race theory in these schools, and these parents are freaking out because the Republicans made something up. Let's make it simple for you. Critical race theory, in the literal sense, refers to works by like Derek Bell and Kimberly Crenshaw. Literally, Kimberly Crenshaw wrote a book called Critical Race Theory, where she talks about what it means. And they describe it as the analysis of the intersection of race and the legal system, is a simplified way of putting it. However, critical race theory in practice, or praxis, or critical race applied principles, are what people are protesting at schools. All of a sudden, their kids come home and say, Mom, they segregated us by race. And the parents say, why? And they say, I don't know, social justice or something. All of a sudden, we're learning about minority children saying they feel less than. They feel like they aren't good enough, and they're told they can't be with their white classmates. Now, that's crazy. In one school, the principal actually segregated the black students from the white students, creating different classrooms. That's how insane this ideology has become. When parents hear that, they say, naturally, yo, I'm not okay with this. What happens? The propaganda machine of the mainstream media and big tech comes out and says, there is no critical race theory in schools. Critical race theory is legal scholarly works. That's taught in college. Name one school teaching critical race theory. There's dozens of books. There's probably hundreds of schools because there's hundreds of protests. But they're doing what's called critical race praxis. What does that mean? Instead of telling you, here's what Kimberly Crenshaw and Derek Bell have said, they'll give you a math problem. John is stopped by the police 17 times per year, but Josiah is stopped 493. And they'll show a picture of a white guy and a black guy. And they'll be like, what percent more or how many times more was, you know, this, you know, Josiah stopped? And they're implementing these ideological narratives and this dogma into the classwork. Parents are freaking out. Now this is where it gets crazy. Harassment? Now I'll tell you this. I started this segment by making this sort of like joke, right? If there was a fight at a bar, would the feds get involved? Okay. Let's say there were a handful of bars across the country and people were complaining about them, you know, I don't know, doing something objectionable. Would the feds get involved with local harassment? Is this really the job of the DOJ to be like, I heard that a parent was harassing another parent?
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah, what do you call it? Hate crime thing? This new term that's being overly used, I think, is devastating because it gives the federal government authority to, like, step in and make a bigger deal out of something than maybe what it actually was.
They can just say, your intent was this, therefore. Mm. You know, how do you prove? It's the craziest thing, hate crimes, because, crimes are, like, indifference or hatred, you know what I mean?
Like, if a guy at a bar says, I hate you to a guy and then beats him up, how is that not a hate crime? He said it. But it's because it's not the definition of it, which makes no sense. I don't get it, man.
Well, it's semantics when they say hate crime, right? Mm. But what they're really doing is saying, we can set harsher penalties based on these criteria.
Which is a form of political persecution, in my opinion.
And it's racial segregation.
Yeah.
You know, it is a problem when there's racists attacking people based on their race or homophobes or whatever. But at the same time, should the law be applied unequally to different people? No, I think the answer to that is no.
But it's happening. I think it's happening more and more. There's more documented cases of this. And I think within the last few years, we have seen the hyper politicization of the national security state, and that's extremely terrifying because they're unaccountable. They have vast amount of power that they can't be reined in. They have unlimited black budgets, and they're using this power for political purposes, which they're not supposed to be, for a very specific reason, because when they do, they become the Stasi, the KGB, and other very political security agencies throughout history that are very dangerous. And we're not there yet, but I think we're slowly heading in that direction.
No, I think you're wrong. I think we're there. Mm-hmm. I think that the tactics have just evolved. You know, we often mention Yuri Bezmenov on the show, and we get people chatting us Yuri Bezmenov all the time. For those not familiar, he was a former KGB. He did an interview talking about demoralization, and he said that there could be an individual that you could show the actual evidence and factual information, and they will not accept it because they are truly demoralized. We're there. When I'm just gonna, you guys, you know, I love the metric, but when the Democrats say the economy is good, and by, like, no objective metric could you say that? These people live in Wonder World. They're a parallel reality of fake news. I mean, look at Let's Go Brandon. There was I actually was just on Newsmax with Sean Spicer. And we were talking about how Joe Biden made a comment about Kyrsten Sinema that, oh, you know, it doesn't happen when she got harassed. They follow her into the bathroom. And he goes, it doesn't happen to people with Secret Service. Haha. NBC News played like a few seconds of the clip of his quote and then cut off the rest. I don't think it's the most egregious thing ever, but it's an example of what the media does. Why couldn't the media just show the extra 3 seconds of the clip so you understood the full context of what Biden said? They removed that because it was a snooty remark from Biden about it doesn't happen to people with Secret Service or something to that effect. So what the people who watch the mainstream media or MSNBC or NBC live in a very carefully crafted reality where Donald Trump is evil, where Steve Bannon is a Nazi, when the dude literally says tax the rich.
And these were the agencies that were lying through their teeth just a few years ago, telling us Russia's involved, telling you Russia hacked this election. Where was the evidence? And then again, we found out everything that they said was lying through their teeth. So the fact that they're becoming more brazen in their actions, and that now that they're focused on parents, because you could see that the parents have been making an effect here, because you can't take over a nation if you can't indoctrinate the next generation. And we're seeing a very significant pushback, which shows you that that has a lot of power, since the FBI is literally tasked with trying to, intercept it and investigate it as much as they can. So it shows you that on one hand, yes, this is egregious, but on the other hand, you know, little small actions like getting involved in your community are absolutely critically important.
That's the thing. So what do you do with these parents that aren't buying this cathedral narrative? I mean, the only option, it seems to me, is that they're going to be branded terrorists. And that's the thing about Garland's letter, is that, like, I mean, harassment, okay, intimidation, whatever, but he says threats of violence. That's the key phrase that he's using to really isolate these people as being dangerous. And they're dangerous, or they're perceived as being dangerous to people like him in the cathedral, because they're not buying the narrative, they're not going along with it, and they're just not.
Yeah. So they're terrorists.
That's the only way to categorize them at this point, right?
If you have hammers and you produce hammers, you need nails.
Yes.
So the national security state literally is looking, begging for their next boogeyman.
Wrong. Excuse me. Antifa. They're right there. If they want an excuse, they can be like, look at this building that got burned down. They can go, no, it's ideological.
Of course. Yes. And that's why they need their latest nail that goes along with the bigger crap house that they're building. Lydia, you
Antifa think is not the kind of terrorism they need. It's the kind of terrorism they have.
Well, they push their agenda and their narrative.
They need white nationalism. This is something they've been claiming is a huge issue in the U.S., and it's not.
Yeah.
And they're like, where do we get it from? Where can we find
it? Ever since we saw the rise of the national security state after 9/11, I always was warning my audience members, hey, look out, because this will be turned inward against the American people, and the war on terror will become a war on the people. And we're at this phase right now at this very moment when they're going after people in school boards. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous.
Well, they're going after the parents.
Yeah.
But I have some questions I would like to speculate on, pontificate, as it were. Man, I'm really wondering if we're going to see the biggest red wave that's ever red waved. Not that I think the Republicans are good or effective or going to do anything. But you look at what's happening with Joe Biden. His popularity's in the gutter. Independent voters are revolting. They're saying, well, saying it that way is probably not the right way to say it. They're revolting. They're in revolt. They're in revolt against Joe Biden.
There you go.
Regular people at stadiums are chanting F Joe Biden. I mean, you look at the public sentiment at Jets games, like a football game. At the NASCAR stuff, I get F Joe Biden, let's go Brandon, whatever. People are absolutely in revolt. So you look at the school boards. Finally, you get regular people showing up to these events, and they're yelling. And there have been instances of violence, and there have been meetings shut down because people have made threats. I tell you, man, when regular people are seeing their kids affected this way, this is what I hear from everybody. They say, Tim, it's easy for you to say stand up for what you believe in because you don't have kids. I can't sacrifice feeding my children, you know, my kids' future over a job or political belief. And my response is usually like, you can't comply your way out of this. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about feeding your kids when you give in to the state during a time of food shortages, when they've shuttered the economy and destroyed hundreds of thousands of small businesses, you think doing this will result in your kids having more food? Wow, I'm impressed. I think it's actually the acceleration towards your kids not eating. But then, regardless of that position, when the parents still comply, and many of them have, and we have people on the show who talk about it, and then you see what the schools are doing to their kids, that's the red line for a lot of these parents. They're like, I could go along with some of this. I could go along with what the government was saying we had to do with the restrictions, the lockdowns, and that's it. Because now they're going to their kids, forcing them to wear masks. They're doing vax mandates. They're doing a whole bunch of weird racist programming stuff. And now people are like, my kids are being threatened. That says to me, when these parents take their kids out of these schools, when these parents go to these meetings, you know they talk to other parents. You know they go to meetings. You know they go on chat rooms. They are talking about this. You're not going to see it in the polls, but I'm wondering, will this result in a major red wave, not just in 2022, but maybe locally? Maybe even in 2024, or maybe not.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I'm disenfranchised, and I believe a lot of people are disenfranchised with Republicans. But it's not just, you know, kids being threatened. They're also being punished for their mask slipping off by accident or being too close to a colleague. And a lot of parents really got firsthand point of view of what's happening in these schools because of the lockdowns. And everything was digital, and their parents were watching their children, and they were listening to their teachers talk to their kindergartners about sexual adult topics that they shouldn't be talking about issues about hating someone because of the way that they were born, talking about other ridiculous issues that have nothing to do with actual useful skills. I posted a meme today, and it was about things that you should teach your children that the local public school doesn't. And I'm just going to read this off really quickly because I find this very important, and this might motivate some people to do some homeschooling, which is absolutely critically important if we want a free and independent nation, not just bootlicking slaves that will repeat and regurgitate everything that they're taught to in these indoctrination centers. But first off, safety, self-defense, how to grow your own food, basic survival skills, how to start your own business, how to be an entrepreneur, mental health awareness, how to read a map, navigate without communications, how to avoid debt, budgeting, basic first aid, self-regulation, meditation, bodily autonomy. All of those things are never taught to school children, and they are essentially key important skills to have to be able to be an adult. And that's something that a lot of people are having a very hard time dealing with, especially when they leave these indoctrination centers, these little safe spaces, and they're out there in the prisons, real world, and they get a shock of what the world really is.
Imagine being one of these parents who still genuinely believes that your kid's going to school and learning math. I have to wonder, like, what do they ask their kids when they come home from school, you know? But here's the thing. A lot of these parents, they'll watch MSNBC, they'll see the Russiagate lies, they'll see all the fake social justice stuff, and they'll see Joy Reid be like, there's no critical race theory in schools, and the parent will go, there is no critical race theory in schools. And then Joy Reid comes on and says, there is no war in Ba Sing Se, and the parents chime right back, there is no war in Ba Sing Se.
Math has even been racialized, and there's even some teachers saying 2 + 2 = 5. That's the level of ridiculousness. Where are we as a nation to be at this specific point with this absolute lunacy? And people, rightfully so, are getting involved in their local communities, in their school boards. And one thing that they could be doing is setting up collectives of local communities coming together and saying, hey, I know math, I know geometry, I know history, and we could create little, sustainable units, some people call them pods, of people using each other's skills to raise their children in the proper right way that doesn't teach them just to regurgitate what the teacher tells them.
But what kills me was it 2 + 2 = 5 was just a starting point.
Yes.
That was a starting point, and now it's 3.5 trillion equals zero.
Yes.
Literally. And it's not just one point. Yeah. It's not just Biden said that. I mean, they parroted it.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Like, they can get away with it because we started with 2 + 2 = 5.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some relation there, but I think that the 3.5 trillion is actually zero is one of the funniest things because there's been this IRS rule change they pushed through, that they can track any account that has at least $600 in it. I think it's in like an account with 600 or more, they track your net income versus, outgoing revenue, which basically means they're not tracking every transaction. They're just tracking how much money you have. And I think this is another example of them going after the little guy. Of course, the progressives are like, this is so they can tax the rich. Huh. You know what's funny? You've got to be a special person if you can see them say, I will be tracking your bank account. This is what literally the Democrat said. We'll track your bank accounts that have at least, this is in Biden's Build Back Better agenda, the spending bill, $600 or more, we track your revenue. They say this will allow us to capture lost tax revenue from the rich. Well, then why 600? If you're going after the wealthy.
6 million.
Yeah. Well, why not 60,000?
Yeah. Anyway.
Having $60,000 doesn't make you rich. You know?
No. We need to go after the billionaire class, I think, because they're the ones calling for all these taxes and regulations to make sure that no one competes against them.
Right.
Or no one even rises against them. If you see the biggest proponents of the minimum wage, of more regulations, of more government intervention, it's the multinational corporations that have already made it. And they're afraid and they want to solidify their position. So, why aren't there any calls to regulate them or go after them?
This plays into exactly what I'm saying though with, parents rising up. It's also regular people. I mean, if you genuinely believe the Democrats proposing a new IRS rule to track your bank account is to tax the rich, well, then I guess we're doomed. But I think a lot of people are going to be like, yo, wait a minute. What is this? Why is my net income being, for this amount of money? Because they're trying to track the side hustle. The people who make very little money. Listen, people who are rich, they don't need to do these, look, when they do these massive secretive transactions like in movies to Switzerland and then they're like, what's the password? That's all fake. They don't need to do that. They're rich. They don't care about paying fees or paying taxes when you have $1 billion in assets. They certainly try to avoid them to the best of their abilities, but they can say, look, I've met people who do like art deals where these wealthy people are like, I can toss $50 million at this. No big deal. How much do you want? $1 million? Done. And people get rich for doing nothing. I've seen that stuff. Rich people aren't as concerned as the poor really do think about taxes. They don't want to pay it, obviously. They'll go to Panama. They'll go to Switzerland. They'll go wherever they have to. Ireland, St. Kitts and Nevis. But when they're tracking $600, what they're really saying is, you as a poor person, we know you've got side hustle. Because most people do. Most people might be like, I sold a car for, you know, a couple $1,000. Mm-hmm. And then the IRS is going to be like, you're going to get a letter in the mail. And if you've not experienced this, you will, if this rule passes, you'll get a letter in the mail and it'll be like, your account saw an increase of X amount of dollars that was unreported. You owe us taxes on that. What is this income? You failed to report. And then they're going to come after everything.
Yep. And this is at the same time that the Biden administration has just announced that they're spending millions of dollars on expanding the IRS, hiring as many agents as they can. Just a few weeks ago, they just announced this.
Saw that.
So this is in correlation with this for total track, trace, and database society, where they're trying to push everyone into a cashless society so they could control everyone and have the ability to turn people's wallets off.
The bigger picture is, my question is, will this be the straw that breaks the camel's back? Not the schools, right?
Taxes usually.
But it's like these grains of sand making this heat. Taxes, for sure. No taxation without representation, the famous, you know, statement from the American Revolution. But we're going to have regular people who are like, yo, dude, I make like $100 a week by, you know, helping my neighbor. And now they're questioning me on where this money came from. And I got to pay taxes on it. Well, the truth is, you're supposed to pay taxes on that if you do a job. But there are a lot of poor people who don't report the stuff. A lot of servers don't report cash tips. All of a sudden now, those cash tips, yeah, they're going to be asking questions about how you have so much money. Here's the best part. You notice the change shortage over the past 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I think we went to a Golden Corral, and they were like, we don't accept cash because we have no change. Exact change required or credit. So naturally, everyone goes credit, like Luke said, cashless society. But again, the bigger picture is, are people going to snap from this? I'm kind of thinking, when you look at the parents and you look at the financial situation, they are just turning up the heat so fast that people are going to explode.
I mean, we'll see. It's very hard to predict a lot of these things. I would definitely guarantee that an intelligence agency has some kind of predictive programming tracking everyone's discontent against completely what's happening right now. But also, just to kind of go back to what we were originally talking about, I just saw this article by Town Hall that says, quote, FBI admits it doesn't track Antifa BLM violence, with a quote from the FBI saying, quote, since we don't categorize Antifa, nor do we calculate or collate information regarding Antifa, that movement, we don't have information on their terrorist attacks.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, though, because I looked into that story.
Mm-hmm.
The full statement he gave was that we don't actually track specific groups. And so I can what he said was, so I can tell you about anarchist extremism, but we don't target any specific group. So a lot of people frame that as them saying, like, we don't track Antifa. Well, it sounds like he was saying they do. They just call it anarchist violence.
They track everyone, but who they choose to go after is another thing. And this is why George Soros has invested so much into local prosecutors. And he's investing a lot right now into a local race happening in Austin, specifically to make sure that the local prosecutors there, that there's going to be a bill that's up for vote about police officers, because they want to hire more police officers in Austin. George Soros is spending a ton of money down there making sure that that proposition doesn't get passed.
Let's talk about what they said about Steve Bannon, because this one, I think, is really interesting. We got this from The Independent. Steve Bannon pledges 20,000 shock troops ready to go as he rants that we control this country. Donald Trump's former strategist has called on GOP to deconstruct the state. The Independent reports, Mr. Bannon made the comments as he said he had rallied Republican supporters to deconstruct the state when the party wins the White House again. If you're going to take over the administrative state and deconstruct it, then you have to have shock troops prepared to take it over immediately. Mr. Bannon spoke to the newly formed Association of Republican Presidential Appointees, which was formed to help future GOP officials fill thousands of federal jobs if they win the Oval Office again. He told the new network that he wanted to see pre-trained teams ready to jump into federal agencies at the start of the next GOP presidency. And he doubled down on the claim on his Monday broadcast on Real America's Voice. Now, here's what's funny. What is Steve Bannon saying? If a Republican wins the White House again, he thinks there should be people ready to just immediately take up appointments. Once they're in, start dismantling the bureaucratic state. He had stated that one of the troubles that Trump had was he wasn't able to appoint enough people quickly enough to gain control, and thus he was jammed up the whole time. How do they frame it? Shock troops. Well, he said that. But they're making it seem like he's talking about, like, street violence. Now, more importantly, when you look at how social media deals with this, what is the left saying? They look at these stories and they don't read them. So what do they think? All of the comments are basically like, he's pledging insurrection and domestic terror. Why won't they go after him? They're claiming that Steve Bannon admitted that he organized the insurrection when he said that he was involved with, he had like consulted on the planning of a rally, you know, on January 6th or whatever, which is not any right at the Capitol. But these people don't read the actual news story. So it's funny because it sounds like when Steve Bannon says, we control this country, he's talking about the people. When he was on this show, he said, tax the rich, you're getting ripped off. And I'm like, Steve, that's like a kind of leftist position. Right-wing people don't say tax the rich, and they argue with me when I do. And he's like, well, I'm a populist. So when he says we control this country, he's talking about the people. But the media is effective at taking your words out of context and making it seem like you're far right or fringe or whatever. And here you go. But that being said, if parents revolt and we end up seeing some kind of red wave, will Bannon's supposed administrative shock troops dismantle this country?
Well, it depends what you talk about when we say dismantling. I think the right has very little power, very little institution power, very little cultural power. So the chances of that, I don't know. A lot of people are just not happy with the Republicans, to be honest with you. I mean, they see them as lame ducks. Mm-hmm. They see them as pathetic people who just sit back, twiddle their thumbs, and say one thing, vote another way, and then sell out their constituents as, of course, they take their money and promise everything and deliver nothing. So there's a lot of discontent. So will they dismantle anything? Well, the likelihood of them doing that, let's be honest here, is very impossible since they don't have any institutional power to do so.
I kind of feel like it's a pipe dream mm-hmm. on the part of the people who are upset with the bureaucratic state. So some people call it the deep state. And I think it's referred to as like, what is it called?
Permanent state.
Yeah, so this is important stuff to consider. When a president gets elected, these heads of intelligence agencies stay there. With more access to knowledge, and that is just a critical point of failure for our country. If we're supposed to have elected representatives who come in to enact their agenda, but you have people who are unable to gain more power, more control over a longer period of time through appointment, then we're not a constitutional republic with democratically elected representatives, are we?
Am I the only person here that doesn't feel a lot of hope in the whole phrase and concept of we the people anymore?
Mm-hmm. Oof.
I mean that because I genuinely feel like the administrative state, if you want to call them that, is just too strong. Yes, we have parents pushing back locally. They're going to be labeled terrorists. I have another point about that later. But at this point, what do you really do?
I don't know if...
Because even these people, these parents, you know, that are getting engaged on a local level, they still have to communicate via social media at some point. Mm-hmm. So what if they just unplug it? You know, aren't they going to pull every single trick that they can possibly manage in order to make sure that the people don't have any kind of power against such a big, ugly machine?
I think hope in Congress is absolutely delusional, but I do think there are some significant things that have developed within the last few months, especially on the local level, that do deserve to be talked about. Places like Florida, places like Texas, places like New Hampshire have initially been living under a totally different system than a lot of other people in the rest of the United States. They have been making their own calls, their own decisions. A lot of them you could debate whether they were right or wrong. But also when we look at gun rights, they have been actually expanding in some states that have been passing laws, constitutional carry laws and provisions where the federal government is against it. But locally on a state level, things like that have been passing, and some people are even arguing we're getting more gun rights than we ever had.
That's true.
In recent history. So
look at the map. There's a map of constitutional carry from the 80s, mm-hmm. it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True.
That's crazy.
To you compare it now, and it's amazing. It's great to see. And, of course, the crime statistics kind of speak for themselves when you have constitutional carry and when you have gun ownership comparatively to when you ban gun ownership. But there's a lot of different factors to facilitate there as well. But on that kind of level, I do think there is room for optimism and hope, because we have seen incredible things that have gotten rid of a lot of bureaucracy, gotten rid of a lot of big government. Federal level, I think it's becoming more and more irrelevant, because a lot of states are just saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you. We saw Ron DeSantis. We've seen other states say, ATF, you're not coming in here. FBI, you're not coming in here to harass our parents. This is not going to happen here.
California and immigration.
Yeah. There's so many other examples of this, and I think we're moving towards another form of government where the federal government is becoming less and less relevant, which is amazing, good to see, and exciting for me personally.
So is that why the federal government's essentially panicking?
Yeah,
I think so, because people aren't listening to them. They can't really do much. What are they going to do in Florida? We saw Joe Biden mm-hmm. attack Florida viciously. We saw Dr. Fauci say it's going to be a bloodbath in Florida. We saw the mainstream media say that there's going to be bodies piled on Miami Beach. There's going to be, you know, a reckoning happening because they're not listening to our overlord, Mr. Fauci. And
Mister.
Yeah, whatever. Ooh. Whoever. Whatever.
That was the insult of insults.
Yeah, really.
No, again, they just said, screw you guys. We're not doing it. And what happened? Their numbers are comparatively to California, where they had the strictest lockdowns, you know, highlighting how.
Oh, but we've seen this over and over again. You know, so. And it's hard to understand why the waves come and go. I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, like you look at some places like Sweden and they have no big spikes and there's a big spike at some point. I don't know. I don't have all the answers on that. I can say, I don't think there's ever a reason to believe that a small handful of elitist authoritarians are going to be able to lead the country more effectively than a decentralized will of the people. Mm-hmm. I don't think will of the people is perfect. I certainly think that, you know, direct democracy doesn't work. So there has to be some safeguards, like a constitutional republic. But the people electing representatives at least is some safeguard to mob rule. Not perfect, a little bit better. But what's the alternative now? Joe Biden ruling by decree. Joe Biden comes out and says that if you don't support his agenda, you're supporting the decline of this country. You're either with me or against me. It was bad when Bush made the same illusions. It's bad when Biden does it now.
He said complicit.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, complicit. That's one of those words that's been hijacked by the social justice warriors, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're complicit in white supremacy. If you don't confess, there was that recent TED talk by Ibram X. Kendi where he talks about confession. I mean, he literally uses this religious language. And I mean, we've all seen that for a while, but he's literally using it now. And there's that complicit, if you're complicit with your white supremacy, if you're complicit with allowing this country to deteriorate, it's your fault, you're the racist, and you're part of the problem.
He's basically complimenting the NCAPs and the libertarians. And to a certain extent, it's funny because Antifa claims to be anti-authoritarian, but all of the Antifa people on my Facebook are absolutely pro-government right now. And it's just like, y'all are dumb.
Look at what they're protesting. They're protesting against people who are going against mask mandates.
For the state.
Yeah, they're protesting literally for state initiative efforts that go after and punish people for not complying with big bureaucratic government.
I will say, though, it's getting to that point where I was surprised that these Antifa people were like, you know, I'm talking to people on Facebook who are like, you know, leftist or whatever that I've known since like Occupy. And they're saying things like there's no vaccine mandate. And I'm like, well, first, let me ask you this. Is vaccine mandate, would you consider that statist authoritarianism? Well, of course, but it's not happening. And I'm like, I guess you don't read the news. Here's an article, just all these articles. And they're like, well, that's not the state. And then I'm like, here is an article saying quite literally the state is mandating. Wow, these people don't read the news.
Yeah.
And they only know what's funneled to them through their activist friends, I suppose.
Well, mm-hmm. through their social media, carefully curated echo chamber that they're in. And we have to understand, they see news, they see videos, they see photos that are completely different than what we see, than what the average person sees, because they're getting literally just their constant reaffirmment of this craziness and this nonsense. And they don't see that there's another world, that there's another reality out there. And this is happening more and more. People are being politicized more and more to extreme lengths where, again, peaceful divorce is a real conversation, and I think it is possibly attainable.
I don't think it's possibly attainable. I think it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an issue of, you know, what anyone needs to advocate for. When you've got the state of Jefferson, people, you got infighting in these different counties. When you've got California, you know, with the northern part wanting to leave, partly, you know, in relation to the state of Jefferson, but also just wanting to be separate. When you've got states like Texas and New Hampshire, you know, we're at the point now where we've talked about it so much, it's just beating a dead horse, but I mean, these states are saying no to the federal government.
Yeah.
Doing their own thing.
There's even BLM protesters marching with Trump protesters against the vax mandates in New York City.
Huge white pill. That was a great sight.
So seeing something like that shows you that, you know, not all hope is lost. The only reason that these bureaucrats have control over people is over this illusion that they have to be participating in this corrupt system, and they don't. Mm-hmm. All that needs to happen is people walk away and start living their own lives peacefully without trying to hurt anyone. And it's as simple as that.
Well, I may not have a sign of victory for those who believe in freedom, but I at least have some catharsis. Here's a story from TimCast.com. Democratic National Committee tells unvaccinated employees they face termination. Employees of the DNC are expected to return to in-person work on January 3rd, 2022. I find that really funny because of all of the people who work anywhere, you wouldn't expect to find people who aren't vaccinated working for the DNC, but apparently there are, and now those people who have given their work towards empowering the DNC are going to lose their jobs. Now, look, I don't want to revel in anybody losing their job. I don't like the DNC. I don't like the RNC for that matter. But these are the people who vote for this stuff. They support this stuff. They actively work for the DNC to support this. And now they're coming to them saying, well, you're going to lose your job now unless you fall in line. And they're like, but I don't want to fall in line. Oh, congratulations on what you asked for. You get what you wish for, you know?
I'm sorry, good comrade. You're going to have to take this one for the team.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest.
Step back. I'm sorry.
If Trump had won the election, we'd be in the same situation right now. He was just as authoritative and ignorant.
How?
He rushed that vaccine out. He was going to do it anyway.
How is that authoritative?
Because they're letting the CDC run the show right now. And he was letting Fauci run the show when he was in office. So I don't blame the Democrats.
That's
it's
true.
Just the idiocy of authoritarianism and ignorant authoritarianism.
That's true. Trump let Fauci do all this stuff. Trump was on board with 15 days to slow the spread. That was the Trump plan. And then he did try coming out a few months later being like, we should reopen. And here's my plan, but I don't have the authority to mandate the states do this. The states were doing it, not the federal government. Well, now Joe Biden is doing it. So at the very least, I can say this. Trump did let Fauci run afoul and run amok. Joe Biden is still worse. But yeah, you know, if Trump was going to have Fauci staying in there and now he's coming out like, I should have fired the guy. Yeah, you should have fired a lot of people, but he didn't. I don't think it'd be the same. I don't think there'd be mandates. The mandates would be at the state level, but not the federal level. Trump would not come out and say, we are going to require all people are mandated to do this.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to make an assumption like that.
I will say, though, I'm willing to bet if Trump did, you'd have a large portion of Trump supporters being like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
Trump
zealous,
is doing the right the thing by mandating this.
Well, it's very interesting to see a lot of very prominent blue check mark individuals who previously said that they would never take the Trump scene,
right.
The Trump vaccine, who are now saying you must take this vaccine and it's mandatory when Trump was the one who rushed emergency authorization for it. He's the one that literally on national television wanted the vaccine to be called the Trump scene. And now he's making some very interesting statements. I mean, he was a big pusher of this. He was a big proponent of this, and this needs to be acknowledged. A lot of people are very distrustful of him because of this, but now he's making some very interesting statements, and I don't know if he's just trying to play up to the popular base if he really means this, because he was a full-on vaccine supporter, but now he's saying that the third booster shot is about money and not about health. This is not me saying it. This is Donald Trump saying what he said recently about the booster shots that people are being mandated, that now 2 million people in Israel have lost their vaccine status because they didn't take the third shot.
I think Trump's wrong, though. I don't think the third booster shot is about money. I think all of it is about money. I do think, however, you know, you look at the expose from Project Veritas. What do we learn from these three scientists at Pfizer? They actually think the vaccine is safe and effective and works. However, they do add, if you've already had COVID, your natural immunity is probably better. Well, there you go. The question then becomes, if we're going to have that conversation, is it get COVID to avoid COVID? Because that doesn't quite make sense. But if you did accidentally already get it, then you should be left alone. Outside of all that, I think we're falling into a trap on the mandates in general. We shouldn't be talking about, there should be no mandates, no papers, please, none of that.
Yeah.
We got to be careful about
that. I mean, there's some studies showing that people with natural immunity could have immunity for the rest of their lives. That's a lot better than the waning immunity for 5 to 6 months comparatively to the vaccine, which, again, these Pfizer scientists are openly admitting, but we should be having a national conversation about this, and
well,
we're not.
They didn't say it was waning. They just said natural immunity was potentially better.
Right. Yeah.
This is tough stuff, man. I read a really great article from Yahoo that basically said, here's a study from Cleveland. I think it was a Cleveland clinic and like University of Washington or something, as well as an Israeli study, saying that natural immunity is particularly effective. However, they did mention one smaller study, which, you know, take it in consideration, from, I can't remember where this one was from, but it said that natural immunity didn't have any, like, they didn't see a discernible difference between that and the vaccine. So I'll put it this way. Look, we shouldn't be getting, we're falling into that trap. I don't want to fall into that trap. I don't want to sit here and have a conversation about, you know, waning this or natural immunity that. No mandates. None. You shouldn't have to show your papers to enter a building. I don't care what for. Because what's going to happen is if we keep trying to reframe it in this way, and that's where the debate's being pulled, probably on purpose, then we end up with social credit systems either way. That path leads to two doors, social credit system with exemptions and social credit system. Yeah. How about we just say no?
I think the social credit system is going to be put in through an economic crash, but that I could save that conversation for a little bit later. But another thing to highlight about this Project Veritas video is they have Chris Cross, a Pfizer senior associate scientist, saying, quote, "I work for an evil corporation. Our organization is run on COVID money." That's not me saying that. That's Chris Cross, Pfizer senior associate scientist. So, I mean, Project Veritas is releasing a lot of these videos.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
But let's not get pulled into that. Yeah. Like, I think this is really important to recognize the motives of a major corporation, especially when you have, you know, government mandates. There's a major profit motive in there. But again, that's why the conversation should always be pulled away from that and straight into, hey, no mandates. Mm. None.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to wonder, though, is Pfizer incentivizing the government to push it, the vaccine? I remember when they're like, who's going to get the contract? And you're like, oh, the contract, right? Is that what this is? Well, hey, Pfizer got the contract, and so did Moderna. They got a contract, too.
Well, there's
a
been
contract for, like, it's that.
Yeah. It's very interesting to see a lot of attacks on Johnson & Johnson, and you don't see the same kind of level of scrutiny against Moderna and Pfizer.
That's weird.
And that is very weird to see because, you know, Johnson & Johnson is not an mRNA vaccine.
Right.
It's a different one. It's adenovirus DNA vaccine, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Just
so,
one shot. Yeah.
So, you know, why can't we have a real discussion about one corporation but not another one?
From what I know about these older vaccines, they provoke a natural immune response. That's the point. You give a little bit in your body's like, whoa, the virus is here. Let's create a real immune response. Then you have natural immunity. The RNA ones, I think, however,
it's the same.
Are you sure? Because I think they only protect against one of the spike proteins or a couple of spike proteins on the outer layer of the vaccine.
There's like the attenuated virus vaccine, I think it's called, where they give you either like weakened, dead, or, you know, just a small amount of live vaccine. I think the George Washington smallpox inoculations, which is a very small amount they would prick you with so that your body would defeat it and then build antibodies. And then what mRNA does is it programs some cells to produce spike proteins, which then get attacked. And so in the Veritas video, the Pfizer scientist is saying that natural immunity has antibodies to multiple parts of the virus, whereas the vaccine is just the spike protein. Still, look, it's interesting to see. What I get out of the Veritas stuff is that you have these scientists who are straight up saying that it's money, you know, that natural immunity is good and it's money. But again, We need to just be focused on the mandates. And I'm going to keep pulling it back because the end result of that conversation will always be a social credit system.
It's not even mandates. It's basic human rights, Tim.
Yes, I get it, man. But you guys keep trying to pull the conversation back into we should have an argument about how we should support the man.
No, not at all.
No, listen.
Absolutely not.
When the conversation is natural immunity, you're basically saying exceptions to that to mandates. James Lindsay has a tweet where he said, eventually when the mandates start failing, when they're not working, the conversation will shift to some kind of exemption, some reasonable alternative that still has mandates. We cannot have a conversation consistently just going back into the same thing. It's frustrating because it's such an easy and obvious trap. We get it. They make vaccines. Talk to your doctor. Don't support the policy of authoritarians, period. I don't care to talk about the rest of the stuff because it's the same trick. You get everybody watching the show telling their friends, look, with respect to James O'Keefe, I think it's a big story that shows you what these people think at this company. But we got to be careful about a conversation that says people who have natural immunity should be allowed exemptions in the vaccine mandates. No. Show me your papers, please. Period. That's my hard line.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no reason that you need a permission slip for the government to go to the supermarket or to get a haircut. That's an absolutely ridiculous, huge step by government that they're totally abusing in an absolutely non-scientific way, in a way that absolutely doesn't justify it. And there's elements of this official story that people use to kind of back this up. And I think that's why some people chip away at the official narrative. But I think the people who chip away at the official narrative aren't saying that the mandates are good. I think the mandates are absolutely inhuman. I think the government literally creating new hoops every 6 months saying you need to do this in order to comply. I mean,
it's the big ask.
Yeah. Israelis are getting a huge rude awakening.
This is the big ask.
Yeah.
Where they say everyone's mandated a vaccine plus boosters. Oh, okay. Well, you can also do negative testing and antibody testing. It's like, no. I'm not big asking. Yeah. I'm not playing that game. None of this. They have implemented so many changes over COVID. They call the new normal. That have not been reversed. And that's what we need to be talking about. They use the vaccine because they know regular people typically trust their doctors. Sometimes people have bad doctors. They know regular people support vaccination. And that is the attack vector, because then you can get regular people, maybe some of these parents, maybe some of these people questioning their bank account, to hear a story where they say a group of people are saying vaccine bad and they don't want to get it. And they're like, that's weird. Vaccines are typically good. The narrative needs to be, no. Vaccine's fine. You go to your doctor, you figure out your own health decisions. Mandate by government authority. Show me your papers. Bad.
You know, this is bringing me to Jacobson versus Massachusetts, 1905 Supreme Court case, where a guy did not want to get the smallpox vaccine because of his religious rights, and the government eventually went to the Supreme Court. They decided you have to get the vaccine. Smallpox is too dangerous. So now we're in a similar situation. Is COVID as dangerous as smallpox? Is it that kind of danger? That's the question.
No, I don't think it is. I understand the precedent in that. I think the question is, when do we allow the government to mandate you show your papers? You want to talk about saying people need to be vaccinated to go to school? I've had that conversation. Look, over a long period of time, there was legislation, scientific studies, long-term health effects were reported, and we said, here's what we think about this vaccine. It's good. Okay, we hereby vote for a representative. Representatives all kind of agree. We're all in favor of this. Okay, we're going to require vaccinations at schools, and we all shake hands and move on with our lives. This is something else. This is in New York City. If you want to go to a restaurant, you need an ID. Mm. You need an up-to-date passport card. This isn't about the precedent of vaccines. That's what keeps happening. Every time the conversation is being pulled back into other unrelated things, instead of saying, why are they demanding my papers? Why is Joe Biden ruling by edict? Instead, once again, it falls back to, I wonder what the precedent is of vaccines. And then you see it in the media. We mandate MMR vaccines. Why are you so concerned? I'm not concerned about the mRNA vaccines. Actually, I think they're quite brilliant. When I read about the adenovirus DNA vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, I was like, wow, they did tremendous research on this stuff. Great. Government shouldn't be demanding my papers. Joe Biden shouldn't be enforcing by edict. They shouldn't be setting OSHA rules by decree. The Supreme Court should not be overruled by Joe Biden on the CD with his eviction moratorium. The legislation should not be bypassed by Biden. The governors should not be murdering people. This is the stuff that's getting washed away because the conversation keeps drifting back.
But the argument against that is sometimes a governor has to ruled up by decree, like Abraham Lincoln, repealing habeas corpus, but for the Civil War in order to fight a war properly, suspending it, and then eventually bring it back. But suspending habeas corpus, like getting rid of human rights. And if someone believes that the virus is that dangerous as like a war, it's like a viral war that we're fighting, then they will support the authoritarian.
We recognize.
Edict. And a lot of people do, a lot of people don't.
That we recognize a great moral evil in slavery. and the good Abraham Lincoln did in fighting a war that kept the country unified and then ended slavery, contributed to the end of slavery, the Emancipation Proclamation. There's a lot of complicated politics involved in what his motives were. Ending slavery was extremely popular in the North, and there were a lot of activists fighting on that moral ground. But for a lot of people, it was wealth, loss of access to cash, and the moral issues weren't as big. Slavery was the prime component of what was driving states apart. But then, of course, there are other people who are concerned about other issues. Several states seceded not because of slavery, but because of the Battle of Fort Sumter. When they saw what was going on with the fighting, they said, this union is too much for us. Virginia split in half, West Virginia and Virginia. So anyway, the point is, we recognize Abraham Lincoln, and we recognize he did bad things. We don't like the bad things he did. We like the good things he did. So when we look now, and we're watching a government like Joe Biden say, I believe, in my heart of hearts, I must do these things to you for your own good, I say, nah. Because what he's doing is more in line with Buchanan than Abraham Lincoln. He's ripping this country to shreds. He's telling people, you're complicit if you don't support what my economic plan? What does that have to do with the emergency decrees he's enacting on mandates? Saying that OSHA now has a rule where if your business has 100 or more employees, we are mandating by decree? That is a well above and beyond anything a good president would be doing. It is ripping this country to shreds, not healing it, not fixing it, and not fighting to preserve it.
But here's the reason that I don't necessarily care that the conversation gets splintered about mandates. It keeps going back to, you know, efficacy and all this other stuff about vaccines. Is, as far as I can tell, there are two different camps of people on this issue. There are people that are very much anti-mandate, and there are people that are pro-mandate. I don't know how to have a conversation anymore with the people that are pro-mandate. I literally don't know how to get through to them because they can justify it every single – it doesn't matter what kind of argument you present to them. They'll say that it's more dangerous. They'll say COVID's so dangerous, we have to do that. They say, oh, well, it's going to get back to normal. We just got to wait for it to get back to normal. And then you can say, okay, well, that's why we don't take our shoes off when we go through the airport security anymore. And they say that there's no getting through to them.
But you don't need to.
We don't.
We're not trying to tell those people to come back to reality. I'm trying to tell the people who are in reality, stop sending the conversation to unrelated issues. Stop sending the conversation to medical issues over policy issues. If people want to go to the doctor, if people want to go to a parking lot for a pop-up vaccination center, I don't care. That's their business, not mine. If the government wants to rule by decree and force people to undergo medical procedures, I got a very serious problem with this. Having a debate over efficacy and things like that is distracting and pulling people towards a conversation where we accept a social credit system with exemptions. No. Freedom, decentralization, a republic, electoral college, all the good stuff the founding fathers laid forth, and then all of the amazing amendments that we've enacted. But we're being ripped to shreds. We're trying to have a conversation with those who are in reality saying, keep the conversation on the mandates. The people who are pro-mandate will never change it. They're authoritarians. They love the mandates. They've always loved it. They celebrate Antifa burning down people's buildings. They believe whatever the authority tells them. You're not getting through to them. But if the people in reality stop focusing on the mandates, what happens? Okay, you guys win. If you have natural immunity or negative tests, we're now going to allow you to come to these stores. And then they go, we did it. We won. Mandate now permanent. No. Mandate bad.
I wouldn't comply with that. If they made that rule change, I would be like, still, I'm not showing any kind of paperwork because if I want to go to the supermarket, grocery store, bowling alley, movie theater, I'm going to do what I want without having to be checked for my medical records and my medical history. It's just absurd. And I think every element of the story deserves to be kind of talked about, considered, broken down. But I agree with you. The bigger element here is that human rights are being violated. People are getting discriminated against. People's livelihoods are being taken away from them because they're not licking the boot of big government. And that's the issue here. It does need to be addressed. And we need to stick to the core values of personal liberty, freedom, and personal responsibility for all the individuals involved here.
Let's lighten the mood. We got some good news. We got some good news. We're gonna give everybody good news because we get all heated and stuff. But we got this story right here. Check this out. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller is released from the brig today. Marine who was jailed for criticizing Afghanistan withdrawal goes free after landslide of public support. The military said his lawyers reached an agreement with the Marines. He was put in confinement last Monday after posting a video criticizing the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Scheller condemned the chaotic effort that killed 13 service members. So he kept speaking. They told him, if you don't shut up, we're going to lock you in the brig. And he said, I'm not going to shut up. So they lock him in the brig.
Good for him.
Yeah. Bravo. This is a guy who stood up, who risked everything and said, lock me up. I'm not backing down. So what does this show us? it's not about just Stuart Scheller. It's about massive public support. There was a wave of support saying, don't do this. You can't do this. He raised millions of dollars from fans who were supporting him. Whatever his politics. Apparently, he doesn't like Trump supporters or whatever. I'm not concerned with that. He stood up. He challenged the unaccountable, these military leaders, people like Milley who are crackpots. And he got punished for it. He got attacked for it. Well, now he's being released. I hope he comes out, you know, squeaky clean. I hope he makes a good living. I hope he writes a book. I hope he finds a career in standing up and speaking out against the corruption and unaccountability that we have in our government and our military and all that stuff. But anyway, the good news here is, aside from his release, you can do it, right? It's possible to win.
Well, we're going to see what's going to happen with that particular case, but it's daunting that he was the only one punished over the whole Afghanistan debacle. Over everything that happened, the one person held responsible, the one person that the rules actually applied to was a guy sitting back and making a YouTube video.
No, hold on.
A Facebook video, excuse me.
You said held responsible and rules applied to? I disagree. I think he didn't, maybe the rules are arguably being broken. But he's not being held responsible. What was he responsible for? Saying that we should, as a country, live up to our ideals and our standards?
And hold our leaders accountable for their horrible actions?
That's the foundation of this country.
Yeah.
Not something to be held responsible for. That's something to be cherished for.
Yeah. Well, I misspoke there, and I agree with you on that sentiment. But when we look at Afghanistan, my goodness, the utter mess, the utter distraction. I mean, this couldn't get any worse than you could even imagine it to be, especially with the drone bombing of an innocent aid worker and seven children. I mean, when you have actions committed like this, and then the guy criticizing it goes to jail, and then you get propped up, you get to lie on national media, say that you went after ISIS-K, whatever that propaganda term means, whatever made-up invention the Pentagon just came out of thin air just to justify this bullcrap. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
They bombed the house, civilians.
Yeah, they bombed a car with seven children inside of it and an aid worker that was working for a U.S. organization that was delivering water and aid to local communities. He was a person that was well-respected in Afghanistan for helping people who needed help, and the U.S. bombed him and then lied about him and said he was trying to kill people because he was filling up waters in his back. They knowingly lied to everyone with this larger propaganda story, and then this is the same president that did this that is calling people like Putin killers.
You know, the problem is if we're going to consider this like a really inept, malicious military experience, like the whole U.S. government is just fallaciously dangerous, let's just say.
Yeah, they armed the Taliban with billions of dollars of machine guns and weaponry, things that I wish I could own and have that I will never be able to have because of government regulations the Taliban now has with my tax dollars.
I think my problem is that we're using state-funded propaganda media right now, Google, I'm talking to you, Alphabet, to talk about it, and that's a big problem. Because if you're going to use the Nazis' propaganda to bash the Nazis, it's not going to go very far. And I know I can't say what I want to say on this TV show because of censorship. This is like the worst military debacle in the last 100 years. I don't know. The last 20 years of war, Afghanistan, America, the United States, the greatest country ever.
Yeah, it was all ruse. It was all based on lies, and the military-industrial complex milked it to the last drop until even to the point where the Afghanistan papers came out, when the Washington Post even released documentation showing that it's all a scam. Nothing's happening here. No one's being trained. No one's being helped. There's no mission here. No one knows what's going on here. Years ago. Still, it still continued. And when it was ended, I think, deliberately bad, for a very specific reason. And it could have been ended totally differently. There could have been different approaches. And it's just mind-boggling.
We've had the Afghanistan conversation 50 times.
Yeah.
The issue here was the optimism that this guy who spoke up has been released.
Yeah, but it's like a story that's like, the headline might as well be, man stops beating his wife.
That's good point. You got a good point there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the optimism in that.
Well, at least he stopped.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
After a large public campaign, he agreed to stop beating his wife. For now.
But it shows you, again, the politicization of the security state, the politicization of anyone who speaks out against the agenda, against the narrative. They want people fearful. They want people afraid to speak out. They want people afraid to stand up. They want people to buckle down and be afraid of them.
We need Google and Alphabet on our side. And I know there are people. I know you're listening. And you believe us. And you believe me. And we need you.
I think that was actually a really profound point that you made about because I think it in some ways it attests to how hungry we are for some like scruple of good news, just like one good like silver lining to, you know, focus on for a minute.
And it's actually like watching someone dig a hole. And then when you hear that they filled the hole, we're like, yay, the hole was filled. But it's like the person caused the problem in the first place, you know. Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Yeah.
I was all excited.
I'm out. Peace. Actually, I think I have to go to the bathroom, which is also on the agitator right now.
Keep it real, lovers.
I was like, this is some good news. This guy's getting released. I mean, look, it is still good news because we expect people who challenge the machine and the establishment to speak out against unaccountable leaders to get punished permanently. And there was a big, you know, a cry of support for this guy, and he did get out. And there are a lot of people who aren't, you know, facing that same, you know, level of relief, I guess. There are a lot of people who have challenged the machine and get locked up for it for a long time. And I don't mean, you know, violent individuals. I mean like people who speak up and get punished. We don't hear about in the news. Mm-hmm. So this just shows that if people do come together, victory is achievable, as much as Ian made a good point. I look at what happens in New York with the vaccine mandates, and they say only 10 violations so far. Okay, 21,000 inspections. They didn't find anything. They got 5,800 warnings, 10 violations. That says to me, because we had Ariel on the show the other day saying that she doesn't get carded by anybody. She goes wherever she wants.
Yeah.
That says to me that if people just said no, it would be done with and you would win. What people aren't. Some people are, but more people need to.
Well, it's all about the illusion of power. And if you could convince enough people that you do have authority over them, you will. And I think this is the kind of silver lining. This is the kind of balance that a lot of these politicians are playing. They're like, we need to scare the crap out of these people. We need to make examples out of people. We need to punish people for going against us. And I think this is the stage we're at now because people are seeing how delicate and how vulnerable this entire state is and how easily everyone who could just say, hey, I'm not going to comply here, that they can't really do anything because there's more of us than they are of them. And even if you add up the police, even if you add up the military, there's a lot more citizenry. There's a lot more people who are willing to do the right thing, stand up. I'm still optimistic in some ways. I think we still need optimism. Just even if we were still in a very bad position, I think being optimistic is still important. Because, you know, the way that you see things are the way that things kind of usually kind of play out, especially in your mind. Your mind is extremely powerful. If you think resistance is futile, it is.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what they're trying to convince you of right now. It's futile. You're going to lose. They're like stomping on people's personal freedoms and liberties. Look what we could get away with. And in reality, it's kind of a desperate, insecure dance that they're doing right now.
I don't think that there's a bad outcome in whatever's happening. I don't see a bad outcome.
Really?
I mean, maybe for a lot of people, they don't want to live a different way than they live, and they're comfortable ordering their pizza and wings and watching football, but life's going to change. For me, I'm like, all right, let's just imagine some scenarios. Joe Biden is the most divisive president ever, or you could say Trump and Biden were very divisive for whatever reason. I don't think it's Trump's fault. I think the media did it, but I think Trump certainly was divisive. Then you get 2024, Trump runs again. The left loses it. John Podesta gets his wish. The West Coast secedes from the Union. The country falls apart. What happens? I don't know. If you live in Texas, you don't got to worry about the ATF anymore. And you can have all these guns. If you live in New Hampshire, you got freedom. If you live in New York, congratulations. Your mandates are law. Everybody's taxes go down substantially.
The federal government is too powerful and needs to be at least have its power kind of taken back to the states. And I think that if anything great, I thought as I was relieving myself in the bathroom that it is good. Not only are you funny, but also that public outcry, man. The power of public outcry. If that can overcome the military, then that's a good sign.
I think it's happening. You know, like we said with California, sanctuary state shows the emperor has no clothes. Texas says ATF no business here. Ohio says it too. I'm just like, the federal government, yeah, they're panicking because they know their power is just, it's an illusion.
What are you going to say, Lydia?
So I just wanted to push back a little bit because I feel like what the states are doing, like what California is doing with the border, I think it's terrible, but they're doing it. And what Texas is doing, what Ohio is doing with the ATF, I'm not convinced it's like a form of divorce. I think it's states just asserting their rights as states. I view this as being a very good thing. I'm a huge fan of the 10th Amendment, and I think that if we were to strip it all back to the states simply upholding the duties that they're supposed to, we would be in a much better place without needing any kind of national divorce. I think that states just need to take that responsibility and get back to it.
One of the things that concerns me is not the federal government, really, is that it's the deep state, the administrative state, like the CIA. Mm. Where are they based? They say it's the Pentagon, right? Langley, they say it's Langley. It's probably underground somewhere, and it's all decentralized, and, like, they have satellites and control of weapons and crazy lasers, and, like, how do you work against that? Or do you work with it? Is that the point?
Hmm.
No idea. Reminds me of that Star Trek Into Darkness, the secret military base where they're building the gigantic war machine. You ever see that movie?
Mm-mm.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
Pop culture reference?
Nope, that's it.
I'm not pessimistic. You know, every day when I'm recording my videos, I look out the window and there's deer and the leaves are falling. And I'm out here in the middle of nowhere and I'm like, dude, the federal government doesn't have the ability to go state to state and enforce 90% of what they want to. They can only go after outliers. And so when Joe Biden goes nuts and basically violates the law, I'm not saying I oppose the federal government or anything like that. I actually think America's fantastic. I'm just saying they've revealed they have no clothes. The more this stuff carries on, the more Antifa is violent, the more the states reject federal law. The federal government is just freaking out. It's like you got a leak. If you're in a boat and a leak springs and you can walk over and you can patch that hole up as long as it's the only hole. But like in the cartoons, more and more holes start popping up and the feds have no ability to actually go and deal with all of them. Then eventually the boat sinks. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're headed towards anywhere dark, though. New Hampshire wants to be, you know, independent, I suppose. Texas probably does. For the most part, people probably wouldn't even notice or care. Other than, if you're in New Hampshire, your avocado is probably going to get more expensive.
Huh.
Unless you have a trade route going down to Florida or Mexico, and you're able to establish free trading lines with
good avocado road
communities. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the connections you have, the communities, the neighborhoods, the friendships you have. That's one part why I try to travel as much as I can, to try to stay at as many homesteads as I can, as many farms as I can, to try to, you know, build and harbor good relationships, because I think that's going to be something that's going to be absolutely critically important. And that's why I see the federal government trying to stop that at any way that they can, in the most dastardly way that they can. And there's an attack on cash, there's an attack on liberty, there's an attack on personal responsibility. And that's because when you get rid of all those things, you'll need subjugated slaves that will obey the government at all costs.
Did you guys see the drones falling out of the sky in China?
Yeah.
So, because I keep thinking drone delivery is the wave of the future, but apparently, this story is light show goes wrong when drones start plummeting out of the sky. And the one guy that tweeted said, word on the streets that a rival drone company that lost the bid interfered to overwhelm the drone's nav system.
Whoa.
And they all came. Well, they didn't come plummeting down. They all kind of like spun down. They had their
own. Yeah, like, so basically it looks like they were told to land. So we have the video. This is actually a crazy story, man.
This is interesting.
Drones raining from the sky in Zhengzhou. Word on the street, as Ian mentioned, a rival drone company lost the bid, interfered, and overwhelmed the drone's nav system. People are like dodging out of the way as the drones are crashing down.
Interesting.
I don't think people are prepared for what all this new technology really means. When me and my friends were experimenting with drone tech back in like 2011, early consumer drones, really light, really crappy, would blow away. It was like, you know, we knew like if we're going to use these things, they can fall. You've got four rotors on these drones. If one of them goes out, it falls. So now they got this video of a guy and he's riding. You see the guy riding the quadcopter?
Yeah.
Or it's an octocopter. Cool. It's got four rotors, but it's got two blades on each side. And then they're like, you know, it was an experiment for helping fight fires. And I'm like, dude, if one of those goes out, you die. Because the crazy thing about that thing he was sitting in was that there were no cages around the blades. So if he pitches forward and the blade goes into his back, I don't know how big it was surface-wise, but yo, this video is nuts, man.
I mean, I saw a drone light show at Burning Man a few years ago. And it was something else. I mean, just being able to see drones in unison dancing and having this light show presented to you. This year at the Renegade Burning Man, they did another one where they did the man and they burned it, but it was drones flying up in the air. So there's a lot of this technology. I know the Pentagon has been talking about weaponizing small drones and using it as a way to attack people where you can't even defend against it. So this new technology will have a lot of different ramifications that we can't even foretell in our modern society. So the way that things could go, I mean, it's so unpredictable.
You ever play Watch Dogs?
No. I've seen
so
it.
So the first you play as like a hacker and you hack stuff, and it's like, you know, really basically it's a game where like you can change the street lights and like open doors. But in Watch Dogs 2, you get remote explosives, you get drones, you get a ground drone and a quadcopter drone, and you can launch the drone, throw an explosive on it, and then fly it at, you know, your opponents or your enemies or whatever. And what I wonder if they realize that in the game, that like, yo, that's happening.
Yeah.
Like in the Middle East, drones are going up and into military bases and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
This technology stuff, man, I don't think people are prepared for what's going to happen in big cities. They're going to need like signal grids, like invisible radio wave force fields that when a drone gets too close, it just goes down. Otherwise, it'll go in the city and...
Well, already DJI has geolocations where it can't operate in, specifically near prisons, especially near airports. Because there's been a lot of people also using these drones. They fly them over prisons and they drop drugs and other weapons into the field. So there's been a lot of different implications.
Yeah, but they can be hacked. They can be manipulated.
Of course.
There's what people don't realize too is like the consumer ones. Oh yeah, if you buy a consumer drone, it's not going to fly in certain places. But you can buy like a commercial grade drone that is just the motors with no sophisticated computer that can fly however you want.
The reason I brought it up, and we don't have to go back to this, because you said avocados are going to get more expensive. Good news, but avocado, and you said unless you have a trade route, but I would feel like New Hampshire would, if it was seceded and somehow it would be cut off and there would be all the trade routes would be blockaded. So I thought drones,
but then I saw this
and it's like, yeah.
I mean, how many men does it take to block off an entire state from the rest of the country? I mean, that's a lot of policing.
400,000?
They could probably keep it up for like a week or 2 weeks, but it's going to be futile. I mean, people are going to have drones that are going to fly over them and deliver stuff.
Yeah.
People are going to build tunnels. I mean, look at what's happening on the border. Look at what's happening in Palestine and Israel. If people want to get through a wall, they'll get through it.
Soldiers march on their bellies, Ian. They're not going to be able to lock down an entire border.
Yeah.
But I do think considering what drones will mean for this future is something interesting. So going back to like ancient Rome, it's interesting that when Rome collapses, you get the rise of these different Latin languages. You know what I mean? They're very similar, but because they're separate from each other, they form their own version of the language. Italian and French are very similar, but then Spanish and French are different, but still you can kind of see where they're similar because everything fell apart and those connections broke and the language has changed. But the interesting thing is when you see like the collapse of a society or a plague or a major disaster, the technology remains. So I wonder if there are like, you know, ultra wealthy individuals who are like, that's what they want. The idea would be you have 8 billion people all working towards developing new technology. Let's say 90% of their ideas are trash ideas. And they're like, let's make a drone with a clock in it. That way people know what time it is when they fly. And you're like, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. So they throw that one out. But then someone's like, let's add, you know, fixed wings to one of our drones so it can both fly as a drone or, you know, convert to a glider. And people have done things like that. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. That could save power when it's in glide mode and then convert into a quadcopter by the wings turning up. Interesting idea. Someone has done that. So what happens then is when you have all these good ideas built up and there's a mass crisis of like a civilization collapse or a plague, the technology and the literature and all that stuff that allows you to build it remains.
Sometimes the Romans lost aqueduct tech,
making concrete underwater,
and you'd see like new tribes of people moving into old Roman broken cities and like living under the aqueducts for shade because they didn't really know what they were, how to use them. So technology was lost for like hundreds
for sure.
of years.
And they say that the Romans had a way to make concrete underwater. Right. We still don't know.
So cool.
But the point is, you will lose. Let's say a society collapses by 80%, and you lose 20% of the technology. You then have a renaissance. After the Black Plague, a renaissance. Because the knowledge of how to do things better still exists, and you know what you need, and then all of a sudden everyone's working and contributing, and it's a scary thought.
So store the data like in orbit, in like glass. I like the idea.
Have you played Horizon Zero Dawn?
No.
Have you guys played that?
Nope.
Aw, mm-hmm. Oh, dude, you guys gotta play. It's a good game. I'm gonna spoil the whole game for you. It's fairly old, but basically, you're like, you play as this young woman, and there are these robot animals everywhere, like robot elk and robot dinosaurs or whatever. And you like, you know, shoot critical points and break them off and then try and like break the machines and then harvest parts. The story is, it's a great story. Some company created a self-replicating military machine that would consume raw materials and then build new machines. And it had no replicator limit and they lost control of it. And so it was consuming resources endlessly and expanding. And it was a military machine that could, you know, attack, and it was made for the army. So they couldn't stop it. And then eventually they were like, we know that this planet will die. These machines will eventually wipe out all organic matter, converting it into these machines, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. So they come up with a plan. I think the plan is called Zero Dawn. And the plan was to build underground bunkers that would wait the amount of time necessary until all biomass was destroyed and the planet was eradicated and all of these machines powered down, and then re-terraform the Earth with seeded life. And the robot animals are the first iteration of life, like of some kind of life, to start facilitating the ecosystem. And then human clones start emerging, and they are all like tribalistic and not realizing it. That's a crazy game. Yeah. Cool story, huh?
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Just wait it out. I mean, that's the age old.
Just wait it out. Maybe that's what people need to do today. It's like, go homestead and then just wait it out.
Maybe. Mm. It takes, well, historically it could take like thousands, hundreds of years, maybe thousands, hundreds of years, but time kind of speeds up sometimes too. Like if you have more.
Yo, it's October!
More access to.
What the?
Space.
I was looking at Will of the People today. So I was doing a sound check. And so I just like, I'll play Will of the People. It's a song I released. And it was November 2nd, 2020.
Yeah,
and
it's been a year.
It's been a year.
Yeah, it's
what
been a year.
The? Damn.
That's wild.
Bye.
That's crazy, man.
It's crazy.
I guess when you're locked up, locked down, and the country's imploding, you got a lot to do. Time flies, huh? They say time flies when you're having fun, but I don't know.
We're just getting old.
Did you see that?
Time flies with age, exactly.
The one representative wanted to pass a law that made guys get vasectomies? Yeah. Is that real?
I mean, it's just hyperbole where they're like, if you're going to control a woman's body, then we're going to chop men's balls off.
If you're
going
to be authoritarian, then we're going to be even more authoritarian.
Yeah.
Don't do that, by the way.
Well, look, I'll put it this
terrible
way.
Terrible plan.
Like, there's no real law in that. It's just shock content. And it's because they're talking to each other. When, like, it's like we mentioned with Colbert doing the vaccine shuffle thing. He's not talking to any of us. Mm-hmm. That's not convincing in any way. So who's he talking to? The people who are already vaccinated. There you go. Who's this guy talking to? The people who already agree with him. That's the problem with two very distinct cultures in this country, and that's where we're going, baby. Mm-hmm. At least drones won't be falling out of the sky.
Yet.
Oh, don't be so sure about that. Yeah.
Dude, like...
Wait for it.
I'm surprised we didn't see videos like this sooner. They are coming down slowly. Yeah. People are, like, dodging out of
like
the way.
Like, their emergency rotors are kicked in, I think, when they come down. But
well, they're just being sent home, so they're turning off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't think that's the biggest concern we have in terms of, you know, political issues and stuff.
Definitely
right.
Not.
What we're facing.
Joe Biden flying a drone would concern me, but.
Yeah. We'll call these first world problems. Technically, it's like authoritarian autocracy, but it's still our authoritarian autocracy. That's so right. How do we deal with this? It's not like we're starving for water right now and we have to build a fire with sticks, because that would be harder than what we're doing right now.
Right.
Trying to solve this.
That's what I keep saying. And there are a lot of people who don't want to accept reality. The reality is you are a privileged, wealthy individual in America. All of this stuff is a gift we're lucky to have. We shouldn't let anyone take it from us if it's ours and we worked for it and we built it. But at the same time, if it came down to my principles and all of the luxury, I would accept my principles. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, if YouTube emailed me right now and they were like, Tim, you must show us your proof of vaccination, otherwise we will not allow you to upload. I'd be like, I guess we're not doing YouTube anymore.
Guess we're done.
That's a hard line. I'm not okay with that. For the time being, you know, we get to live in luxury. We get to speak our minds. We get to challenge these systems, and we'll keep doing it until we can't.
Yeah. Stop giving YouTube ideas.
Okay. Because this is something that they might actually implement, because every company over 100 people, you know, mandated by our supreme geriatric overlord has dictated to us that over 100 people, if you're run a company, you need to get, you know, vaccinated. YouTube, the content creators could be considered employees, because we are uploading and working a part of the system, and who knows how far they will push it. I think they're going to try to push it as far as they can, and the only thing that will continue to allow this push is people's ignorance and compliance. Mm-hmm. So if you think you have to comply, if you don't know that there's other alternatives, if you don't know that there's other possibilities, if you just blindly just say yes, Overlord, I will do what you tell me. You don't understand that situation will deteriorate and only keep getting worse and worse and worse, since the Overlord will keep asking for more and more from you.
Which is why I say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't comply your way out of tyranny.
Yeah, this is a classic case of feeding the alligator in the hopes that it eats you last. It's still going to eat you in the end. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should stop
it. What if
it
I eat it?
Yeah, there
what
you go.
What if I'm in a cage with an alligator and I trick it? It's busy eating
man
Luke.
Man bites dog?
And then while it's eating Luke, I go, ha ha.
Bites alligator. Yeah,
you can get it to
happen.
Eat itself.
He didn't see that one coming.
Trick it with its own tail.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I think history is plagued with examples of people who are like, if I just duck, death will pass my door.
I think that we're especially at risk of this in our super, super cushy environment. We don't believe that it's ever really going to get that bad, and we're wrong. Dude, and we're facilitating it, and we're making it easier for it to happen.
Well, we're also very comfortable, and we're very fat.
Exactly.
Literally fat.
Yeah.
Diabetes and obesity skyrocketed up. You want to look at comorbidities, especially with COVID. That's definitely one to really look at and have another conversation about. But there's a meme that I just posted a few hours ago and said, and it says, we're still complying, so we're going to be fine, right? And it's people in World War II.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
going to
say it. There's no, this is before any kind of action happened, but it specifically highlights, you know, a point in history where a lot of people did think that if we just do what the government wants us to do, everything will be fine.
Yeah, we trust
them, right? If you have this kind of naive ability, you don't know history.
People are fighting over toilet paper. Right? They fought over toilet paper last year. Shelves were emptied. Today's show says there's going to be more food shortages. We're hearing that there's, you know, economic collapse underway. Biden's agenda is failing, whether it would work or not. People are, we're hearing more reports that when Christmas comes around, the surge in demand with a lack of supply will cause a major crack in the economy. And you will not be able to find certain foods at your stores. And then people say, Tim, I have no choice but to comply. My kids need food. And I'm like, you don't get it, dude. The complying is why your kids don't have food. Why they won't have food. Because they shuttered the economy, destroyed your business, and still you complied. That's the crazy thing to me. How many hundreds of thousands of businesses were destroyed? How many people were left starving? They had no place. They had no food to eat. They were angry. They were demanding. How many people in New York City lost their businesses? And now, after being beaten over the head with what the government did, they come out with a vax mandate and these small businesses say, okay, if I comply this time, everything will be okay. And still, the Today Show, NBC, and these news outlets say the food shortages are getting worse, but people are just like, if I just keep doing the same thing, the fire will stop burning me.
Yeah, farmers were literally told, burn your crops, kill your farm animals. And they're still getting some orders like that from the top levels of the federal government. And I think the economic warfare here is extremely significant because when we look at the small businesses that were destroyed, that were shuttered by people saying, just follow the laws, just follow the rules, just comply, it's just 2 weeks. Slow the spread. We need to lock down. When that happens, that took away people's economic freedom. And when people have a little bit of money, they have a little bit of freedom. They have more choices. They have more options. When you take away their money, when you take away their ability to put food on the table, when you take away their ability to make any kind of living for themselves, they're forced into subjugation. They're forced into a UBI system. They're forced into saying, government, please give me a lot of your money. I think that's why another reason the federal government gave so much unemployment benefits, that had another very negative repercussions for our kind of domestic economy. But economies worldwide are being shattered. They're being utterly destroyed. Billionaires are becoming richer than ever, and these are because of the top-down centralized economic policies that have been literally locking people down in their own prisons, in their own homes, telling them, you can't leave, you can't go anywhere. And this is going to, again, exacerbate this problem, and we still have not felt the larger ramifications of the economic consequences because of that. The labor shortages, the supply shortages, this is just the beginning.
And complying is driving it.
That's right.
There's the story of a man, he walks up at a circus, and he sees an elephant, a full-grown elephant, with a single little rope tied around its foot, and then to a single little peg hammered in the ground. And the elephant won't escape. And he says, I don't understand why the elephant doesn't escape and just rip out the peg and leave. And the man says, well, when they were little, we tied them to the peg and they weren't strong enough to break free. They've spent their whole life tied to it and they don't realize they've become strong enough to break free from this.
It's like why we wear clothing.
Is that why?
Just kidding, keeps you warm.
Yeah, I know, I was going to say.
But that's why I wear clothing in the desert.
I actually don't want to get bit by mosquitoes.
You should go to Burning Man. You don't need to wear clothing there.
You don't need to wear clothing. You don't need to wear clothing at Pride events.
We're trained animals, man. We've trained ourselves as a species. That's very interesting. I like to break that stuff down and think about all the little things that we've been trained to do that maybe aren't really all that good for
us.
Yes.
But elephants are intelligent. And the point of the story is not to say that we're as dumb as animals. It's to point out that we have the power. We just haven't realized it. I mean, the founding fathers did. They were like, hell nah.
Yeah, that's a really critical point about actually, like, the compliance is the reason your kid's hungry. Because, like, I remember in 2020 in California, I couldn't get a haircut. Like, I just went from place to place, called place to place. They were all closed. And I finally, like, called the dozenth place or the 20th place, and this guy was just like, yeah, I'm open. I was like, really? You're open? I go in. Just like, really? You never closed down? He's like, no. You know why? I'll tell you something funny. I have a lease. And as long as I pay the money that lease says, I can be here. He just said no. And he stayed open. Didn't close one day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the other people that just did close because they were just like, oh, well, I guess I have to.
When people say, you know, I can't risk my kids, you are literally risking your kids. It's the craziest thing to me that people have complied from day one and it's only gotten worse. Yeah. There's a meme going around saying, how many people who told you that after we get the vaccine, things will go back to normal, feel really stupid right now? Hmm. Nothing's back to normal. It's only getting worse.
Another thing that was very interesting about the lockdowns is that it also kind of brought back to life the black economy. Because I remember even hiring barbers to come to my house and give me haircuts at my house. And there was a whole underground, economic system that started. There were speakeasies. There was underground parties. There was secret rooms where people gathered. And that's why I think there's going to be more financial ramifications. There's going to be more de-dollarizations. There's going to be more incentives to get rid of cash. And I think this is all coming full circle with the 2030 agenda, Build Back Better. They're openly calling for it. Biden is openly announcing his legislation is a part of it. Boris Johnson is literally cracking open beers and spreading butter, saying build back butter and build back beer in the most ridiculous, stupid dad jokes that are promoting a globalist agenda that are truly about, again, making sure that you own nothing, you have no privacy, and you allegedly will be happier more than ever.
And to clarify, the agenda is Klaus Schwab's, basically his economic forum. He wants to invite corporations to take over as global governance in accordance with governments, like national governments. He doesn't think that they can handle them on their own, so he wants corporations to step in and start to govern us. These authoritarian machines that we've given personhood to that can fire you at will to be the governor, it does just is not at all synergizing with the United States of America and the founding of the country and the concept of the Constitution.
They don't view this country.
He doesn't understand this country.
No. They've already, look, this country is under an occupation. Okay, there. You can argue there's two factions out of the many different ways to describe the factions, but one is true Americans, and the other is woke internationalism. These are people who say the country wasn't founded in 1776. Okay, well, we know from American history it was. Signing of the Declaration of Independence set forth this great new nation. They say, nah, 1619, we made stuff up, and now it's true. Those people don't believe in the history of this country. They don't believe in the ideals of this country. They don't like the founding fathers. They tear down statues of Frederick Douglass, a man born into slavery and then becoming one of the greatest American heroes. Mm. We built statues for this guy. Mm-hmm. They take down statues of Abraham Lincoln. They do not like this country. They don't support this country. But there are people working in the FBI, in the DOJ, in local police departments who just don't care. The country was gutted. Complete demoralization. We've lost touch with our values and what makes this country strong. And now we have police officers in Seattle willing to enforce the law against those who would oppose Antifa.
It's like
the DOJ going after parents for saying, don't teach my kids this garbage.
The Federal Reserve's like one of those funguses that get in the ant's brain and makes it like climb up and get eaten. And it got into the United States in 1913 with the Federal Reserve. And it made us like, you know, malfunction. And now we're like wasting away and starving, twitching on the ground. And it's still in our brain. So we need to extract it and heal this body.
I don't think it's possible.
You got to heal it slow. Otherwise, you'll shock and kill the system.
That's why I said I think what's going to happen is that the country breaks apart. But look, in the end, that's still beneficial for woke internationalism. I don't think globalism is necessarily the right word because I don't think these people actually care about that. They're largely focused on the West, the Europe and the U.S. They don't care about China, you know, for the most part. And I think it's a cult. It is a cult of people who despise Western enlightenment, who despise critical thought and American history and European history. I mean, that's it. And the end result will be it all breaks apart. In the end, we will live better lives. Your kids will have food. You'll have to do more work. You'll have to actually go out and probably plant some food and learn how to farm again. It won't be that rudimentary. You'll still have, you know, farms who take care of you for the most part, but cities, boy, you're in trouble. How much of your food is imported from California or from other countries? A lot. Mm-hmm. California, for sure. If California breaks off, man, wow. I'll tell you this. All the food is grown by Republicans for the most part. So those big cities are in trouble. But then they're not going to start just sharing all the food with everybody. Nebraska, man, they're going to have a monopoly on corn. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, even during the Great Depression, during those times, there was still a far significant higher number of farmers and self-sufficient people. And there was still a lot of people who were hurt by the Great Depression, but predominantly hurt in major urban areas, major big cities. Now there's been a huge distribution of farmers to city slickers. And there's been a big migration to people to live in cities. So I do feel if there is some larger economic ramifications, that the reverberations will be far more significant and they will hurt far more people, especially with this larger demographic change that we have seen throughout the last few decades.
We got to go to Super Chats. Yes. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and go to TimCast.com for that sweet members-only segment coming up around 11 or so p.m. But we got a huge library of members-only content, so make sure you sign up anyway. Let's see what y'all got to say. Harry Toe says, Luke, thank goodness I have puked every day since you've been gone.
I'm happy you're better.
Very, very, very brutal. Yeah. Camel of the Mojave says, once again, the government has announced a war against its own people. The same people will demand price controls. It's going to be brutal. Once we get into that territory of price controls,
That's what they did in Venezuela.
Exactly.
How did that work out? What happened?
It doesn't.
There was no toilet paper available.
When you say money, price control, like what happened?
The government says you can't charge more than a dollar for bread. And then people are like, yo, it cost me $1.10 to make the bread, so I won't make it.
There you go.
Oh.
And then they try. The problem is centralized government doesn't know every trade vector.
It can't.
So they'll be like, stop selling toilet paper for $10. Sell it for $5. And then the company that chops the trees down, well, far removed, says, look, in order to hire enough people, the government says you have to pay my employees $10 an hour. And they'll be like, that would mean it would cost $10 for a roll of toilet paper, not $5. Doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Command economies. Doesn't work.
Don't work.
All right. This is something Ian mentioned. The Hylian Juggalo says, Tim, check out PA Rep Chris Rapp's reproductive responsibility bill. Guys get a forced tube snip at 3 kids or 40 years old. And people who report those who don't comply get rewarded $10K. It's clearly meant to be a nonsensical garbage bill that addresses no real argument from conservatives, but is meant to just be like, we're children.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny when the left is like, you know, my body, my choice, when they talk about pro-choice, and it's like, yo, conservatives are saying the baby isn't your body. Like, how is that hard to understand? I guess if you don't understand, you can't have a cohesive argument. Patrick Kennedy says, first Super Chat ever. New suggested title. Brave new Fahrenheit 1984 Vendetta shrugged.
Nice. That's a good one.
Is Dr. Fauci more of a Dr. Ferris or a Dr. Stadler? Who were those?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Not sure.
Is Spachemin?
A what?
A Spachemin.
Is that German?
Spachemin?
Dr. Spachemin?
Dr. Sattler from Jurassic Park?
No. Dr. Spachemin. People in the chat are getting it.
Yeah.
You guys.
Well,
wow.
We're slow. Sorry.
You guys don't watch 30 Rock?
No.
Best show ever.
Sorry.
I want to pull together what you said with what Alex Jones said the other day. I think we should go with Mr. Sickle.
Got it.
Nice. Yes.
That makes sense.
Mr. Sickle.
That's what it means in
that's what he pointed out. I like that. Never forgot it.
So interesting.
Aiden says, hello, Tim and Co. from the Shenandoah Valley. Thank you for the work you do. Please wish us luck as we try to boot our Democratic overlords in November.
Luck.
We're not too far away from there, I'm pretty sure.
We're not, yeah.
Good luck, Aiden.
All right. Eric says, for Ian, Ohio slang. If someone improperly gets in front of you in line or something, what is that referred to as?
Cutting. Cutting in line.
Yeah, I thought so, right?
Yeah. And I'd also be like, dang it.
Oh, you didn't get it right.
I'm not going to say anything profane. Was that
if someone improperly gets in front of you in line for something, what is that referred to as in Ohio? Do you give up?
I give up.
Ditching.
Ditching is when you leave someone without them knowing.
Well, yeah. that's not a slang term. Ditching, that's what...
Maybe it's new slang. I left Ohio in 2001.
Oh, wow.
Joe Biden is a diddler, says, let's go, Brandon.
great username.
Nice.
I love the username.
Nice.
All right. Brandon Acock says, since nobody else will do it, I'll call Luke out. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Why do you say import instead of importance? Is it your, I don't think I can use a word. Is it your autistic word, like the use of literally as to other people? I don't know what that means.
Potato, potato is my response to you.
Yes.
Luke often picks the wrong word that sounds similar to the other word.
But things can be of great import.
But if you look at the definition of it, it kind of makes sense.
It does. Truly, it makes sense. Something can be of great import.
Sometimes I'm able to pull it off.
Sometimes not.
Most of the times.
Silent AFH says, Ian passing a bag of gems out to everyone. Dare I say these are the family jewels?
Indeed.
What up, Silent?
Yes.
Happy day, bro. I'm loving these super chats today.
Yeah.
Spicy. Bug HQ says, Tim, to your points about believing in something and moving and changing your life, please check your pitches email I sent about this, as I agree completely and I've done that myself. P.S. You've got crickets on their way. Are they alive crickets?
Oh, I hope so.
We have 15 chickens now.
Woo!
Because this is a crazy thing, right? If you take chickens,
yes,
and at least one's a dude, and you put them in a space, one day you'll have more chickens. Just all of a sudden, one day there's
funny how that works.
It's magic. Three more chickens, and we're like, what? And then there's five more chickens, and we're like, what?
Pop out of the ground.
No, they just manifesting.
I'm very excited for the eggs.
So Dorothy is brooding. But those eggs all spoiled. They're all rotten.
Oh.
Yeah, she failed as a mother.
Oh, Dorothy, I don't blame you.
We got to do a purge.
It's not her fault.
We got to purge all the eggs.
Okay.
So we're going to have to, I don't know what the problem was, but it's been a month and nothing's happened. So we're going to call it and we're just going to have to shuffle them all away.
Maybe your butt's not warm enough.
No. Maybe just the eggs weren't fertilized properly. And then the other chickens were laying in the same place, and then she wasn't sitting on them properly because there was too many. So it was just
bad temperature. Can it be?
If she wasn't sitting on the eggs, then they would die, and she couldn't cover all the eggs, so it just created a problem. So he's got it. Yep. Yeah, the other chickens for some reason won't go in any of the other laying areas anymore. They used to lay in a bunch of different spots, and they all started laying in the same spot. And so they say you have to go in every day and remove the new eggs. So only you have to mark them, so you know which ones. And we didn't know what we were doing, you know. Yeah.
Live and learn.
All right. Let's see what we got. Let's see. Average student says, my uni has a required course for my minor on CRT, where the professor not only has required lectures by Crenshaw and listening to black feminist rants.
Oof.
Wow.
Yikes.
Sounds fun.
All right. Tino says, the real gem is my dad's novel, Barons, The Decline and Fall of an American Banking Empire by C.W. Acosta, based on his experience as a bank executive in the 80s, available as an ebook on Amazon. Ooh, that's cool.
Cool, yeah.
Josh Branson says, Tim, if parents remove their kids from public schools in a mass exodus, Biden will use DHS and the FBI to steal your kids and lock parents up. I don't know about that. The feds don't have as much power as people think. It's an illusion. They have enough so that they can enforce the percentage of crimes that exist, and not all of them, but not if everybody was, you know, outraged and freaking out.
There's already a lot of people not in public schools. Germany implemented some restrictions arresting parents for homeschooling children.
Yeah.
But in the United States, there's a huge you'll be surprised at how many people actually do this, and I believe this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, and Tim mentioned the other day that conservatives are the ones that have the kids, but the leftists are the ones that control them, and they can use them to control conservatives. But yeah, like you say, if enough people do it, then.
But hopefully. I think there's this obsession with trying to raise and teach children this because they're dying out. A lot of these leftist SJW woke people, they're not having children, and because of that, they want to kind of spread their ideas.
Yes.
And I think that's why they're doing it so fanatically and so brazenly. And I think it might work, it might not work, but we'll see.
Thank you, right.
All right, let's see. Ricky L. Hendricks says, a lot of school boards have their own police that are separate from city and county with their own jurisdictions.
Oh.
Interesting. Huh. Talbot Link says, dad meme, are you learning, son? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Attack says, freedom begins in the mind. Teach your kids not just simply about history, but show them the mindsets they had back then. Teach them about Thomas Paine's work, about Patrick Henry's speech, and the Federalist Papers.
I'm a big fan of Band of Brothers. Have you guys ever seen the 10-part miniseries? Incredible world. It's about the 101st Airborne, World War II, dropped behind German lines on Normandy D-Day, and then they just fought the entire way to Hitler's Eagle Nest. And man, you see what those guys went through. That is well, it's a Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah. We are so spoiled. Mm-hmm. We are so lucky. Yeah, you have no idea.
The beautiful ones in the rat experiment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's us.
RVDL, glad to see Lucas back. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Brian Toomey says, little guy has guns. If they can look at your account and see who bought guns, ammo, and accessories, but they don't look at the transactions, this would allow them to track incoming and outgoing revenue in total. So like once a month, if you made $7,000, they'd see that. If you spent $6,000, they'd see that. So the issue is, if they know on your tax return that your W-2 is Starbucks at $12 an hour, but for some reason you're bringing in $24 an hour on average for your bank account, they're going to say, hey, where's that money coming from? Something doesn't add up. And then they're going to tax you.
So how long until they start tracking what you're spending your money on?
They haven't passed it yet, but it seems like because Republicans are spineless losers that are just in line with the Democrats, they will. And then it takes effect, I think, 2023.
How exciting.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's see. Little Tales Farm says, hey, Tim, our chicken city is almost complete. Woo! We're calling it Chicken Town. Inspiration came from you and cast there. Check out the progress we've made. Tagged you on IG. Little Tales Farm on YouTube.
Look it up.
I did see your post, and the funniest part is the camera goes, like, it shows the chickens walking out of the house, and then it goes to the window, and there's, like, a regular window of the screen, and there's a chicken just looking out the window.
That's amazing.
That was really funny. It's like a little chicken house.
I want that.
Awesome. So our chicken city is almost complete. It looks amazing. Beautiful. They built this big deck wrapping around house, and then they're going to fence off the whole thing, so it's going to be massive, and then we'll be able to keep, like, a lot of chickens in there.
I'm so excited for it. Not because of the chicken city, but because the frickin' rooster's not going to be in front of my
right
RV in the parking lot.
But you know where it is going to be.
Next outside my window. but you go to sleep when the rooster like goes crazy though, so you'll be fine. God. You'll be okay. The rooster goes off at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's been waking me up every morning.
Nice.
So you go to sleep at 4 or 5, right?
It depends, man. I don't have a schedule. I work late, so I'm usually up till like 4, and then I go to sleep around 4 a.m.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, the rooster will be your...
I bought like 100 earplugs. I'm ready.
Something's
perfect. I use earplugs. They don't work.
We have a problem with this rooster because he'll literally scream for like a half an hour.
Is it because it's bright?
No. So there is a problem because people will leave the garage spotlight on, and then if he randomly wakes up, he's dumb. And then he'll start screaming at 2 a.m.
You got to show me how to close that. I don't know how to close that light off.
People are supposed to turn it off every night.
Okay, they haven't been.
Yeah. Well, then we got to.
I'll be doing that.
We do have a bull whip in the closet we'll bring out and just make sure.
Oh, it cracks real good. I like it.
I remember there's
a breaker we got to flip to turn the lights off.
Okay.
But then otherwise, the chickens are they're not smart, so they'll go to sleep, then wake up and see the light, and he says, I wake up at 2 in the morning with him. He's right next to my room as well. But, When we move him, that shouldn't be a problem, except there still is a problem that at like 7 a.m. when he gets up, he will literally scream for like 30 minutes. And I'm like, something must be wrong with him. Like, no joke. It was like 8:50. And I usually record my segments a little bit after 9. And he was just going, he was crowing for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, I got to go out there. Because like, I've never seen this. I guess it's normal. I don't know. And then I went out there. And then as soon as he saw him, he just stopped and looked at me. And then I screamed at him. He ran off.
Why do I believe this?
And then that was it. He stopped screaming.
So he gets attention.
But you can get a collar, I guess, that makes him quieter.
Yeah, it kind of compresses their vocal cords. Aww. And they go, it looks abusive, so
that
I didn't really.
Terrible.
I haven't gone for it yet, but maybe I will. It's better than taking an axe to his neck.
Yep. He's been getting braver.
Ooh.
Yeah, because we had a problem. Vanessa's been attacking the other chickens. And so when I go in, like, trying to, like, we got to separate them and stop the fighting because Vanessa's getting really aggressive.
Hmm.
He, like, runs up and, like, comes at me, and then I just stand up, and then he, like, whoa. All right, let's read some more.
Anyway.
All right. Don Belmore says, Tim, tax the rich pool. Explain this. Top 1% earn 21% and pay 40%. Bottom 50 earn 12% and pay 3%.
Mm-hmm.
2020 tax revenue is 3.7. Is that $1 trillion?
Yeah.
Nobody needs to be taxed more. Change my mind.
I agree. Personally, myself, 100%. Everyone should have, the ability to do what all the elites do and avoid taxes.
All right.
I mean, money's being wasted. The Federal Reserve literally prints it out of thin air anyway.
Mm-hmm. And my issue is when, Soros and Bloomberg and Steyer start dumping hundreds of millions of dollars to strip our rights away and they fund propaganda machines. Like, I have a problem with that.
Don't like that.
I don't think giving the money to the government solves the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I can agree with Bannon when it's like, yo, we're getting ripped off here, I don't think giving the government money solves the problem. I don't know how to solve the problem.
What if we deflated the economy and took that from the rich, from the ultra, ultra wealthy?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense because rich people don't have, it's not like they have a briefcase with $1 billion in it.
Yeah. What?
It's like they've got a plot of land that, so Mark Zuckerberg loses $7 billion in wealth. And then someone posted on Reddit, okay, so where did the money go? Like, it's just gone. And people are like, yes. This was a leftist subreddit where they were like, how did he lose the money? It wasn't spent. Like, where is it? Because they genuinely do not understand what wealth is.
Yikes.
And then they were like, so you mean it's not real? Never was. That's why people can be worth something on paper and then do an IPO. So they're like, the CEO of this company is worth $1 billion based on his stock holdings in the company. And then he'll be like, I'm going to do an IPO. Why? Because he's not actually rich. Because he wants realized gains. He wants to be like, okay, now I'll sell enough and make that actual $1 billion. All right. Josh Harding says, hey, Tim and Cass, support local businesses. Seriously, it's super important. This is a dangerous game, so don't play. Love what you guys do. Keep up the fight. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got to vote with your dollar, and your dollar matters.
True that.
All right, let's see. I can't pull up that law. Cameron Carlton says, Ian is right. Trump would have done the same thing. The state is garbage.
You know, Tim made a good point, though. It's an assumption. I don't know what he would have done.
I don't think it would have been the same. I think it would have been... Look, when Trump was still in office, he tried telling the states to reopen and said, I don't have the authority to force them to do it. If they want to lock down, that's their jurisdiction. That's their, you know, prerogative. If he was the president now, I don't think he would all of a sudden just reverse and be like, now I have the authority to mandate all these things. Trump was not doing these things. He wasn't sending out the cops to shut down the riots. He tried defending a federal building, and a lot of people were mad, like, yo, why won't you end the rioting? Because he didn't start any wars.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, he's a bad guy. All right, Colin Stevens says, Tim, my soon-to-be former employer, Asbury Automotive Group, is gearing up to fine unvaccinated employees $15 to recoup their expenses incurred by the unvaccinated. My girlfriend and I bought a farm. We are out.
Ooh.
Glad to hear it.
Yep. Good.
Learn all that good sustainability and crop rotation stuff. There you go. Colin Stevens says $15 per week.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. Man.
Jeez.
RJ says, I thought I just had Luke for last night, and then three heart eye emojis.
I parked the RV.
He's here for good.
I don't know about good, but, you know.
For well, bad. He is.
Good for bad.
We're playing it by ear.
What Luke doesn't know is that we hobbled the RV as soon as he
Yeah, he can't leave. Sorry,
we
Luke.
Went and we mangled up the wiring and then broke the axle.
Atlas is so happy.
Yeah, this is her home. This is her first home. So she was raised here. She was trained here. So she's very happy to be back here.
I don't know. When I saw her and asked her if she was happy here, Atlas shrugged.
Atlas shrugged. Oh, snap. Oh, that's good. Boom. That's very good.
I just won the internet.
I like that. Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's see what we got. Dave says, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Who's Brandon?
I don't know.
The Happy Holistic says, Ian, you are correct that Trump pushed the vax, but you forget that he pushed therapeutics like hydroxychloroquine and monoclonal antibodies in spite of the CDC and media. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
He's not as authoritarian as Biden.
The media went nuts for it.
Yeah.
They were like, Trump's crazy.
Injecting Clorox or whatever.
But the weird thing is, I don't think Trump actually recommended it. He was like referencing stories that had come out, like TechCrunch reported, like promising story. I think there is a problem if Trump sees a story and then assumes it's like a preclinical trial shows promise, and then Trump's like, wow, we got it. There it is. And it's like, no, hold on. But the media's response was just lies, manipulation, crazy crackpot garbage, as they usually do. But as I always say, you got to talk to your doctor about what's right for you.
That's right. Like a drug commercial.
Yeah. Thomas Sidebottom says, Tim, it's easier to avoid falling into the trap of mandate with exemptions if you just start calling it what it is. They are loyalty tests, not vaccine mandates.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is why we say that New York City already soft seceded. Because they're telling a large portion of the population of this country you can't go there anymore.
Yeah, and the loyalty test will be increasing and getting more difficult from here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's grab some super chats. What do we got here? Happy Nappy says, bought tickets for TLC show in Dallas tonight. No health check needed during purchase. Day of, all of a sudden, they required health check before you can get in the door. Staying home, principles over luxury. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd demand a refund.
Yeah.
TLC, yeah. Let's go chasing the waterfalls? No, don't.
No, don't do it.
E. Smith says, all right, let's say, they say, Ian.
Yes,
Ian,
keep
Ian,
it coming,
Ian,
baby.
Ian, hi.
What did that mean?
Jacobson v. Massachusetts determined that states hold the power to mandate vaccinations, not the federal government.
Wait, can you give me the name of that one again?
Jacobson v. Massachusetts.
Oh, that's what I was looking at.
Talking about, yeah.
That states have the right.
Oh.
Yep. Eric Skelly says, someone sent an email to my hospital where I work to get me fired after I spoke out against my kids wearing masks at school.
Whoa.
Another parent is getting death threats after talking at a school board meeting here in California. Silencing. We the parents. Wow.
Jeez.
Man. I'll say about this Jacobson versus Massachusetts. Alex Jones told me that they are referencing this court case as a reason to push these mandates, but I haven't looked deep into enough, so thank you for pointing out that it's the states that won the right to do that because of this court case.
Interesting. Mm.
Friedrich Borman says, hello, team. Luke, this question is for you. Does Free State Project help internationals to immigrate to the libertarian community from abroad? I'm finishing my bachelor in Canada and want to move to the community with shared values. Where can I contact you about this?
You could go on the FSP.org. They have a great website and they have all the information you need to get started there. There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of women. There's a lot of men. There's a lot of single people. So they would be more than happy to help you to, of course, relocate. And they have people who work full time who literally, it's their job to help you, move there and, you know, find a job there, find an apartment or a house, whatever you may need.
Wow.
So
cool. Mematype says, Tim, careful fiddling with your credit card on live stream. Someone's going to find a frame where they can see the number. It's not a credit card. It is a metal business card from one of the trucks that came for the Fox News segment. So whenever Fox News wants to have me on, they send a truck. And then it's always different. And it's a van. You get in the van and you're in a mini studio. And then there's like a TV screen behind you. And it's like actually quite silly. The last time I went on, I wasn't wearing shoes.
Whoa.
Me neither.
Fancy.
Yeah.
What's
I'm actually
up, hippie?
Wearing shoes right now.
You're a hippie, Tim.
Here's the funny thing, too. I usually don't wear shoes.
He does not.
When? Because, like, I don't want to wear shoes around the house on the carpet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Home, yeah.
So it's like, well, we don't, you know, but people wear shoes, whatever.
I wipe my feet off from time to time, do you?
You
I
wipe
get, like,
your
a
feet
wet
off?
Paper towel and wipe that. Them off every once in a while.
I normally just wear shoes all over, but not when I walk up on the carpet into the carpeted studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, normally I'm wearing shoes all day.
Mm.
Yeah. Except for when I go outside, I got to take them off and put on the muck boots to go in the chicken.
That's right, farmer boots.
Oh, man, every day I got to deal with those chickens. And there's more and more of them.
What is happening?
Yep. Jason Miani says, Tim, my employer mandated a company of 6,000 employees to get the vaccine by October 4th or face termination. 3,000 of us refused to submit. Now they completely backtracked and aren't requiring it. Hold your ground, everyone.
Wow. Dang. That's amazing.
Mic drop.
Awesome.
Jason, you should email us.
Yes.
Where should we send it? Pitches?
Spin the UFO?
Spin the UFO?
Yeah, I'll check it. I see those every day, yeah.
There's a lot of stories like that
I'll
that I even personally hear
That's
about.
Great.
People saying they're telling me they're going to fire, and there's forums and there's lawyers suggesting not to push the issue. To see if you will, and then there's a lot of interesting court battles happening right now surrounding this very issue.
Mm-hmm. And that was 3,000 out of, what was the size 6, of that 000. Company?
6,000.
Man.
Half their employees.
Where was he located, did he say?
No, I don't think
so.
Oh,
interesting.
I'll
I'd
email.
Like to know.
Yeah Jason, send that email to spintheufo@gmail.com, and then we will we'll look into that.
I'll pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
Matty Marco says, Mike Cernovich said on his Instagram Q&A that he predicts death camps are coming to the U.S. Thoughts? Man.
It's a possibility. You can't really predict stuff. A lot of this stuff is unpredictable. But if you look at history, those do happen. And history does repeat, does rhyme. So I think there's a possibility. There's no reason to shutter that. There's no reason not to think it won't happen. But let's pray and hope it doesn't. Let's fight and make sure it doesn't.
Hmm. I think it's foolish to say it can't happen.
Right.
I think we're on a track that ultimately leads to some kind of death camp. But I also think when people assume death camp, they imagine there's like American soldiers beating people and like pointing guns at them, when it could very well be like a quarantine camp where it's just dirty and people are getting sick and dying.
That's what I foresee.
Yeah.
The term death camp seems a little too hyperbolic for me.
Yeah.
It's usually only labeled after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They just start off as camps.
Yeah. Good point.
Adam Austin says, shout out to Ian for his killery Freudian slip Friday. Worth every penny.
I'm glad you like that.
Oh, yeah. That was great. I remember that.
I said Hillary, but it popped with the mucus. And
that was on Friday. Yeah, he accidentally said killery.
Liquid in the back of my throat there.
Whoops.
Much love,
amazing.
Hill.
JB Napier says, if peaceful divorce is our future, it should happen at the county level, not states. Mm. That's a completely different proposition reflecting the true division. It creates city states. Think Singapore, which was expelled by Malaysia, and God bless their success.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Counties are much smaller.
Oh, here's this is interesting. Chad Cunego says, they recently figured out how Roman cement was made. They used seawater, which created a rare mineral during the chemical reaction.
Huh. Cool.
Really?
Oh, look it up.
So to them, it was nonsense. Like, to them, it was like they poured water.
A certain kind of water.
But seawater.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't even think about it. They were probably just like, oh, put the water in the thing, mix it together, and then put it in the ground, you know, underwater, and it'll harden.
Wow.
And then to us, we're like, how did they do it? We just didn't know. It was like, use seawater.
They made concrete by mixing lime and volcanic rock?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What is this? Tus Nulorum says, the motto of Ian's life. I thought the song said to go chasing waterfalls.
Don't go chasing
waterfalls. Close enough.
For the underwater, the Romans did lime and volcanic ash mixed to make mortar.
Hmm.
And this mortar and volcanic tuff were packed into wooden forms.
Semper Ives says, time to use my $50,000 master's degree to educate Ian from last night.
Okay.
Ian, educate yourself how there is a diminishing statistical significance at a certain point. No need to poll the whole population.
I agree. You know, someone did the math on that poll that we talked about yesterday. 2012 people were polled, and then they said half of Republicans. It was 0.6% of the population was polled. And then they claimed that the entire population had made that statement. So if you can somehow justify that 0.6% is enough of a segment for a poll, I'll have this conversation, but I don't think that's enough.
He literally just did.
I mean, I don't care what the school tells you. If you can actually humanely justify that, I'm open to a debate.
I think you just don't know how polls work.
I know that they work very poorly, Tim. They're very, very bad.
Indeed they do.
I think modern polls are used as propaganda, but when you look at actual scientific polls that are done properly, they can actually...
If that article had said more than half of 1,012 Republicans polled want to secede, it wouldn't have gotten any clicks. So they left out that part, and they just said more than half of Republicans want to secede. It's like,
well, so they'd have to say more than half of 2,012 proportionately sampled individuals from key regions matching U.S. demographics, determining the adequate sample size to find a reflection of their community, say 50. That's
yeah, or more than half of 2,000 Americans polled. But they left that part out because you realize how insignificant it is. I love it. All day, baby.
Yeah, I'm teaming on this one.
This is absolute demoralization on Ian's part. You can literally have someone say, I have a master's degree in education, and Ian doesn't understand statistical significance, and Ian still says, I'm right.
I'm not denying that they taught you that. I think a lot of crap is taught in schools. And I want to have a realistic conversation about the validity of these things.
All right, let's see. Genshiken 2006 says, Skechers is going to mandate COVID vaccinations. We were notified today. Wow.
It's gonna happen.
Buck Fiden says, do you think Biden will get a Nobel Peace Prize? Yes, I do.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Obama mm-hmm. got one.
Yep.
Yeah, for nothing, right?
Trump got one. Yeah.
He was like,
he launched some drone strikes, and then they're the like, first thing I did a Nobel Peace Prize.
Was blow up a village of women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals.
And for that, mm-hmm. I got a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yep.
And everyone clapped and cheered.
Yay.
Yep.
I remember when I first heard that. So, like, I was like, okay, we got this peace candidate is going to end the wars, right? And they were like, oh, no, he just bombed a Pakistani village, killing women and children. And I was like, oh.
Dropped more bombs than the Bush administration. Yeah. Dropped so many bombs, they ran out of bombs. Started wow. seven wars. Yep.
Green Jean says, ideas on convention of states. Do you think it's a feasible possibility? Do you support a possible Article 5 to peaceably stop the Fed overreach? Oh, yeah. And it may be. If parents are freaking out and we see a wave of state-level Republican victories, you might actually get it. State level. That's the secret. They got everybody concerned about federal level. State level control of Republicans means potential convention of states.
Yeah.
Mm. With that being said, my friends, head over to timcast.com, become a member to get access to the upcoming members only segment, which will be up at around 11 or so PM, as well as our massive library of content and new members only shows coming soon, like the members only Tales from the Inverted World. You'll not want to miss that one. That's going to be fun. Talking about ghosts and mystery and paranormal and DMT and creepy, crazy, weird and wild. You can follow me at TimCast. Make sure you hit the smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. You can follow the show at TimCast IRL. Luke, I hear you sell t-shirts.
Yes, I sell t-shirts on thebestpoliticalshirts.com, and I have my own YouTube channel. And if you want to see my videos that I release almost daily, you can on youtube.com/wearechange. We are change on YouTube. Hope to see you there.
I have nothing to sell but my wild charisma. yeah. ChrisCar17 on Twitter. Keep going to TimCast and reading our awesome reporting.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm just chewing on a piece of lemon, so sorry about it. Real quick, I want to show you these.
What?
These opals. Lemon. Eat just raw lemon. It's so good for you. Look at this one. Let me see if I can show this.
Can we get it close enough?
I don't know if it's going to refract in the light properly.
It's not
okay.
Focusing.
I'm going to get good video with these for the Cast Castle vlog.
Sweet.
And we'll get some beautiful images of these things so we can see them sparkling in the light.
We'll title it Ian's Get Rich Quick Scheme.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. I love it.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Yes, I love the opals. Ian and I were talking about them earlier, and they are very cool. They're actually a suspension, a colloid, so that it becomes solid and it becomes like a mineral. It's really, really neat. You guys may follow me for other such incredible observations at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Go to timcast.com. We got that members-only segment coming up, and we'll see y'all there.
Bye, guys.